Mark Herman, Adam Holm.
Chicago Sports Conversation.
Wide, wide world of sports.
This is The Beat.
Welcome in. Happy Saturday. This is The Beat. Adam Hoge and Mark Carmen here with you inside the Allstate Showcase studio. Hope you're out there staying cool today. Embrace the heat. Embrace the heat. That's what I say.
I was on the tennis court this morning, Adam, embracing the heat.
Love it.
It was very hot. And
I mowed my lawn this morning in the heat.
Good job. Shirt off, shirt on.
My first trip around the new casa. That was a wake-up call.
Little
bit more grass there.
Did you sweat? Did you go no shirt?
I went cut off.
Cut off, okay.
Cut off, let the armpits breathe a little bit.
I mean, that's like a legit adult homeowner. You're a whole nother land. You're somebody that I can't relate to anymore. I don't know what that's like at all.
We have nothing in common anymore?
Well, actually, that's not true. I did rent a house in Kansas City back in the day,
and I
did have to mow the lawn.
Wow.
And I'd get out there, I'd get rid of all the sticks. That was my strategy. You got to
clear it out, clear the path.
And then go big.
Yeah. Well, I'm proud of you for doing that.
Thank you.
It's a little bit of a task, and one of the neighbors made the point of mentioning to me, hey, you know, tomorrow it's going to be in the 70s.
You've already bonded with the neighbor?
Yeah. There's a lady that lives like three blocks away that keeps coming by, and
she want pie or something.
I'm trying to be nice. Like she talks and she gives us a lot of insight in the neighborhood, so it's really nice.
Neighborhood
but, like,
insight.
She's one of those people that like doesn't read the cues of when the conversation needs to end.
Though I know those people.
Yeah. And it's like, and today we're sort of in a hurry. My wife went to the White Sox game. We're trying to get downtown. I was trying to quickly finish the lawn, which was taking way longer than I was used to. So I'm already running behind. And like, yeah, nice little Saturday morning conversation. But hey, I got to go. And I don't want to be rude, but this conversation needs to stop now.
So she's an over-talker. This is actually a very good challenge for you to assert yourself in the moment and be gracious all at the same time. I think you can do it.
I think I did do it.
Oh, you did? What'd you say?
Well, no, it was fine. We talked for like 10 minutes, and then I was like, hey, you know what? We got to get going here in a little bit.
Good job. I just need to finish the lawn. Good job.
It was fine. It was fine.
Okay, I love those moments in life. I really do.
Somewhat awkward, but
yes. How do you get out, and how do you do it nicely? How do you move along, and have them like you, but not like really like you? Don't come over a lot, but yes.
I did like the subtle. Hey, I gotta go check out this little thing here in the yard, and she still didn't read that cue.
There's got to be like a good thing where you just that's a consistent go to that's made up. I have to do this.
Yes.
Where it's not offensive, but yet it's something that absolutely will resonate that's something that I have to stop talking about because he's got to go do that.
Well, we have the baby, so that's pretty useful.
Right.
Like,
but
hey, I got to go change James's diaper.
Yeah, but she's going to walk away like, how does he know that the diaper needs to be changed right now? He just wanted to get out of the conversation.
I'm just that in tune with the baby's diapers.
Okay. Hey, I've got this thing on my wrist it's a baby diaper app /
Which
bracelet.
Probably exist.
Right.
You could probably put a little sensor in the diaper and then it tells your phone when it needs to be changed.
Right. It's vibrating now.
Otherwise, we just gave somebody else a great idea that someone's going to make $1 million instead of us.
I do think we just hit on something there.
I think we need to.
The vibrating tinkle.
Can we get a patent for that by the end of the show, Dan?
Dan Long, get that done.
Just to make sure no one steals that.
Do you think we hit on something there, Dan? Because I think that we hit on something.
You can make diapers like that.
You know what? I was reading an article, and all I heard out of context was vibrating tinkle and asking me to somehow secure a patent for it.
What were you reading? Was it more interesting than the show? What are you getting into over there?
I was preparing for Hoag's headlines.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Good preparation.
5 o'clock, Hoag's headlines, by the way. Hey, we got a lot coming up on this show today.
We do. Going to be a spirited show, hopefully. 312-981-7200. We are going to get into a little bit of the Muhammad Ali discussion and where he would fall today if we had an outspoken athlete like that.
Yeah, Bob Verdi joins us a little bit after 3:30 to talk. We'll talk about his career, first of all, because he's getting honored by the Hockey Hall of Fame, which is really cool.
Love Bob Verdi.
And then Gordie Howe, of course, passed away too. So we'll talk to Bob about that a little bit. I want to bring you some of Billy Crystal's eulogy of Muhammad Ali.
It's awesome.
It was really good. It's too long to play the whole thing, but I asked Dan to pull out three chunks of it, some funny moments, and then the way he brings it all together at the end is fantastic. Yeah, so I want to get that to you, too.
He was known as Muhammad Ali's, well, Muhammad Ali called him, I should say, his little brother. Yeah. So I don't know if he was quite known that way. I actually didn't learn that till I watched the eulogy.
I didn't know that either.
So maybe saying he was known as that is a little wrong. But that's what he called him, my little bro, which is very cool.
Hey, I want to start the show today by actually giving Cleveland some credit.
The Cleveland Cavaliers?
The fans of Cleveland.
The fans of Cleveland.
The fans of Cleveland who have suffered for a really long time.
Cleveland, we're talking to you, buddy. Go ahead.
Well, and this really started with what I saw the night before in Pittsburgh, where the Stanley Cup Finals are going on.
But is anybody watching that?
Continue. I don't know. I was.
Sharks and the Penguins. Yeah.
So
Martin Jones standing on his head for the San Jose Sharks. So they go to a game six. Are you impressed that I know that? Because you should be impressed that I know that.
I actually am very impressed that you know that.
Thank you. Okay,
that's very, very impressive. So last night the Cavs, they're down like, what, 8 with 45 seconds left? And that's not insurmountable in the NBA, but the way that game was going and they had no offense in the fourth quarter, the game was over, right? But you know what? Even with 25 seconds left, even with 10 seconds left, those fans in Cleveland
were
all in their seats. All in their seats. Compare that to Pittsburgh the night before when the Sharks had an empty netter with about a minute and a half left, a little bit over that, I think. Minute and a half left, and
the Pittsburgh fans left.
They go up 2 goals. All of a sudden, they zoom out, the camera zooms out, and the Pittsburgh fans are evacuating the stadium like there's some huge threat. Like, that's how quickly they're leaving. They're all running out of the stadium. Got to get to the parking lot, got to get out of here. And in my head, I'm going, what is wrong with you? Okay, 2 goals in a minute and a half. You know what? That's about the equivalent of, like, what, being down 8 in the NBA with 45 seconds left?
I suppose that anything is possible.
Probably not going to happen, but we've seen crazier things. What did the Hawks do to the Bruins a few years ago? 2 goals in 17 seconds?
That's true. That happened.
Right? And could you imagine if that game was at home and Hawks fans were leaving and they missed it? The Penguins could have won the Stanley Cup if they won that game. If you had left that stadium and they had come back in that moment and tied it and got an overtime and you weren't in there, you'd be regretting that for the rest of your life.
The biggest one of that big of a game where I could remember fans leaving was a couple of years back when the Miami Heat were playing game 6 against the Spurs and San Antonio was on the foul line. If Krista Flores is listening upstairs, I apologize that we're bringing this up, the biggest Spurs fan ever. But the game was basically over, and then it wasn't when Ray Allen hit a corner three, and then it was going to overtime. And people were banging on the doors trying to get back in Miami, those pseudo fans who absolutely positively did
too
not
bad.
Do it. Too bad. Yo, no, you're
out.
Yeah.
If you're going to leave that early, and that, it's a clinching game, Stanley Cup. And I don't think there's some story like they hadn't won it. There hasn't been a title won in Pittsburgh and like 50 years or something like that, like in the city, like actually physically won. So those fans, what are you doing? So good for Cleveland, miserable fourth quarter. Almost everyone in that building probably knew the game was over. The fans stayed there. Till the end.
I've always been somebody who appreciates a fan staying to the end of the game. That's the fan that I have been. However, nowadays, when games are starting later because of TV and you got kids there and there's school, I don't know, school like now goes to like the middle of July. At least
I thought you were about to call me out.
No.
Because you sort of did on Twitter the other night.
What did I do? I don't even remember.
On Wednesday night when I was at the Sox game.
Oh, well, yeah, because the Sox were losing by 100 runs.
And I left. So if you want to call me the biggest hypocrite of all time, you can. Except the difference is it's early June. The White Sox were down 7-0 in the 7th inning, hadn't shown any signs of offense. I'm getting in the car and I'm going home. Sorry, I got things to do.
So you left your dad at the White Sox game by himself?
No, my
your cousin was there or something?
No, my future brother-in-law was still there.
Your future? So you left your dad with your future brother-in-law who
came together, by the way.
Okay, so
we were in separate cars.
This might be a little bit too personal, but does your dad like your future brother-in-law?
Yes.
Okay, so it wasn't like a terrible leaving. You weren't leaving.
It wasn't awkward at all. No, it's not. They know each other very well.
But you still left a family gathering because you couldn't take White Sox baseball.
Well, A, it was miserable. B, that I don't know if you watched any of that game, but like the first two innings took an hour and a half.
That's because James Shields just gave up another home run.
He did. It was unbelievable.
He doesn't even look like James Shields anymore. Like, his hair is longer. He doesn't look intimidating.
Are you saying that maybe they traded for somebody who's not really James Shields?
I'm not sure if James Shields is actually James Shields. He's certainly not pitching like James Shields.
No.
Now, this week, Adam and everybody, on a very special Chicago's Best, check out which restaurants took the win in the battle for Chicago's Best Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
When we come back, I need a ruling on something. It happened right before the show. This is where we have very loyal and helpful listeners. I think we've learned that in the last few weeks on this program. And something happened. It involved food. And I need a ruling on whether or not it was okay. This is The Beat, 720 WGN.
We had a nasty moment in the office before the show.
Yeah, so I went over to Jimmy John's to grab some lunch.
I actually, nasty's wrong. That's a little bit harsh.
That's what we want to ask here.
Okay.
So I'm eating my sandwich. Good old number nine over there.
What is that? The Vito Club with the BBLT?
The Italian nightclub?
The Italian nightclubber. Oh, so good.
The nightclub was full of hair. Not full of hair. So I'm eating, I'm four bites in, maybe three or four bites in, and I see a little hair.
Was more than a little one.
Well, that's what I mean. I just saw a little bit of it, so I pulled it. And then and that's where it was this hair is actually more like 6 inches long, maybe.
I mean, it was a good-sized hair. Yeah. And you turned to me, and you did what?
I asked you how bad it was. I think I said on a scale of 1 to 1 billion, how disgusting is this, or something like that.
I think I said 7. And
you gave me a 7.
Yeah, continue eating your sandwich.
Which I actually agreed, because I'm not actually one who gets all that grossed out about that, but
312-981-7200, if you get a sandwich from Jimmy John's or Subway or your local deli, and you're mid-bite and you find a nice big hair, do you just dive in there and keep going, or do you say, that's it, I'm out? 312-981-7200. We can do calls and texts. This is a very important poll, and we're going to get to the bottom of whether you go full-on hair sandwich eat. I, myself, Adam.
Okay. Yes.
First of all, I told you to keep going, and I would have kept going.
Okay.
And I would have felt a little bit sick, but I would have kept going. If something falls on the ground, here's the worst moment that I've ever had where I kept eating. It was at Wrigley Field. It was at some concert. I forget exactly what. I'm standing by the ramp. Somebody runs by me, going down to the club box. Somebody runs by me, knocks my hand.
What were you eating?
I had a pretzel.
Oh.
Pretzel to the nasty concourse of Wrigley Field.
Yeah.
5 second rule.
How far did it roll? Did it skid?
It was a little skiddy.
Did it grab some of the dirt?
I went with a dust off of the pretzel. Dusty pretz.
So here's
I'm still here today, baby.
Some texters here, 773 saying Sue.
Sue.
Seems a little extreme.
Society's too litigious, sir. We're not suing.
That same person said, you should call the store owner now, get a year's worth of free food. That sounds awesome. I didn't know you could do that. I don't think you can.
A year's worth for one hair? I think you definitely can get a free sandwich.
Yeah, I think one hair is worth a free sandwich.
Should we call Jimmy John's? Dan, can you get Jimmy John's on the horn over there?
I wanted to actually talk to Jimmy John.
Jimmy John himself?
Yeah. Here's the deal. At that point, we're 40 minutes away from our show.
Yeah,
you're trying to get our prep in. I mean, I couldn't run back out to get our sandwich.
You couldn't.
And you know me. If I don't eat right before the show, I become angry, hungry hog.
Right. We don't want that. Angry, hungry hog is bad for all of us. Actually, it's kind of good because the show can go in different directions.
And I, at that point, I mean, I was finishing that sandwich.
Yeah, you.
Because it was a necessity that it got consumed.
It didn't seem to me that you were the least bit bothered. You kind of just smiled and just went about your day.
Well, I kind of forgot about it.
How do you forget about that?
I took the next bite and then I forgot about it.
Back into your computer and let's prep the show. 312-981-7200. Different question for you. Will Adam Hoge not make it through today's show? Will something bad happen to Hoagland?
Well, I didn't eat the hair.
Right, but there could be remnants from the hair in the sandwich. Like
is hair that deadly?
Well, I mean, a follicle of hair, correct me if I'm wrong, it could have a repartition of a disingenuousness that could seep into a potential. What did you have on that sandwich again? Turkey?
No, that was a good old Italian nightclub.
You're right. It could slip into an Italian nightclub, salami, prosciutto, and the next thing you know, whatever carrier of that hair was spinning around, you could be afflicted with that disease. 312-981-7200. Will Hoag make it out alive?
Probably.
I mean, I'm
feeling pretty confident in my chances.
I loved that you stayed in there. I was very proud of you. I think the show needs to, I mean, I think we need some added toughness here.
You gotta stay strong.
I mean, Dan Long could basically beat up anybody in the city, but me and you are not very physical.
The texts right now are kind of grossing me out more than the sandwich.
Really?
Because they're bringing all of the things that I didn't want to think about.
It's a sanitation issue. I'm a former fast food manager. Call the store now.
The city will shut them down. I don't even want the city to shut them down. I go to that Jimmy John's all the time. I don't want them shut down. I got to go back there.
Right. I mean, that was your go-to.
Come on.
And we're not going to call out which store it is because listen, I almost feel bad that we got Jimmy John's in there, but it wasn't Jimmy John's. Keep going, Jim in Florida. That's what I'm talking about, Jim. I feel you. City's not shutting you down for one hair. It doesn't work that way.
Don't think so.
If I find hair in my food, I'm taking it back to the place I purchased and get a refund. Well, that's okay. 312, if you could retext in on that. Did you finish the sandwich and then go get your refund? Like, some people be like, you know, you get a plate of food, restaurant. Yeah, I'm going to eat all this, but I don't want to pay for it.
I feel like you have to show them the hair. Like, once I discarded the hair, even if I had not eaten the rest of the sandwich,
right?
You got to show some proof of hair.
Well, okay, so, I mean, you know, that's fair. I think most people take, when that call comes in, they know that it happened. Of course it happened. We're in here preparing food all day long.
Yeah, it happens.
It's just going to be. That's the way it is.
Yeah. The thing was, such a long hair. The guy who served it to me, and he was working all by himself, he didn't have hair. So I was even confused of like where this hair was coming from.
I mean, it was an interesting hair. It was a very... It was not your standard sandwich hair. Like, normally it's just a little bit of a thing. This thing, has, you know, it's squiggled around. My advice to you, too, is start drinking heavily from the 708. That will kill germs, right?
I agree.
Uh-huh. Let's see. 773 says, we had to shut down the store and sanitize everything, losing the money for that day. What if a child gets poisoned? If it's one hair, then other issues are occurring. Okay, I don't know about... I was kind of joking on the whole... There's a repartation of hair dispensation. I was making up words. Now we're going full. Everybody can be poisoned. Hoag, you might. I think there's actually a concern that you might not be okay here.
The best text is from another 773. I once ate an eclair out of a garbage can. Oh wait, that was George Costanza.
If I actually accidentally drop food into the garbage and I really want that food, it's coming back out.
Yeah, you gotta eat it.
That's just the way. I mean, come on, it's the way. We're too.
Think about how many really, really hungry people in the world would die for that piece of food with the hair on it. Right?
That's a very good point.
Can't just throw it out.
No, that's exactly right. And the 630 making a great point here. I'm a hairdresser, so I'm always covered in other people's hair. One hair in my sandwich would not freak me out. And by the way, hair is made up of protein, water, and amino acids.
That's what I'm talking about.
So that's not bad.
I'm healthier.
You have 100% of your amino acids today. And 100% of, well,
again, I didn't eat the hair. Yeah, I found it.
But there was some seepage of hair on that okay. sandwich. I mean, that's just a fact.
Seepage of hair.
There was hair seepage with mayo and everything else. What was your spread choice? Did you have a mustard, a mayo?
There was a mayo on there.
Yeah, so the
mayo. A little vinaigrette.
Right. Okay. Well, now that we solved this, you look good.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you got a nice smile. So, all right. Well, when we're coming back here, we won't be talking about your hair. We actually will do a real sports radio moment with Bob Verdi, who's going to the Hockey Hall of Fame and is doing great work, of course, for the Blackhawks historian. And there was a man who once was considered the greatest hockey player of all time, Mr. Hockey, Gordie Howe, of course, passing away yesterday at 88. This is 720 WGN.
Poole going in, and Garrett will clear it to the other side for Mark Howe. Howe coming up on the right side. Howe over the line to his father. Son to father. Backhand shot. They score! Number nine, Father Howe. And number five, Mark Howe. And the crowd appreciates that.
I foolishly retired in seriousness for 2 years. Since I've tried it on several years, but in the 2 years of retirement, I've actually put on about 18 pounds. And because I thought I was going to enjoy life and to make that comeback.
Well, you weren't sure. You were over 40.
Well, I think I was. They told me, wasn't I? Believed it, too, the first couple of
weeks. A little tribute to Gordie Howe. This tune, by the way, for us Tom Petty fans out of their Wildflowers out of nowhere. Dan Long showing his sensitive side with little Wildflowers on a Saturday afternoon.
It's a great song.
It really is. Doesn't get a lot of run. One of the great underrated albums that I think our gentleman who's on the line perhaps does not listen to. Bob Verdi, who used to write for your Chicago Tribune in the wake of the news and now headed to the Hockey Hall of Fame, your Blackhawks historian since 2010, joining us on the line to talk some Gordie Howe and also your induction. Bob, thanks for taking time this afternoon.
Thanks, guys. I was about to have a sandwich, and then I started listening to your show.
Sorry about that, Bob.
You would have kept going, though, Bob. You wouldn't have stopped on one little hair. Come on.
I put the plate aside.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Can't blame you. Bob, before we get to some of your stuff with the Hockey Hall of Fame, let's talk a little about Gordie Howe and this sad news that he passed away. What do you remember from his career?
Well, he was a rock. You know, I think it says something that both Wayne Gretzky and Bobby Orr, either of whom could be called the greatest player ever, both say that Gordie was the greatest player ever. And it's not only the endurance, but the way he played the game. And, you know, the old myth is of the Gordie Howe hat trick, a goal, an assist, and a fight in a game. The fact is that he rarely ever fought because nobody wanted to go near him. You know, I don't think he had very many fights, but when he did, you lived to regret it. Same with Orr. You know, Orr was a great fighter, just nobody wanted to fight him. But Gordie was played the game the right way, tough, efficient, modest, and more importantly, I think, off the ice, he kind of instilled and perpetuated hockey's culture of respect for each other and the game. And I think in many ways he passed the baton to his, you know, to Wayne Gretzky. Gordie was Wayne's idol, and the way Gordie carried himself and played the game and respected the game, you know, that goes through generations.
The great Bob Verdi with us here on 720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hogue. So you mentioned, Bob, the one goal, the Gordie hat trick, the goal, assist, and a fight, and that only actually happened one time.
Well, yeah, I that doesn't once or twice, and I you know, it's again, you just didn't want to mess with him. Bobby Hull, left wing for the Blackhawks for forever, and Gordie was right wing for the Red Wings, and they faced each other how many times? You know, they used to play 14 times a year, the Red Wings in Chicago. And but there was a great mutual respect, and as Bobby said, I enjoyed every high-sticking minute of it.
Well, you know, for somebody who wasn't able to watch Gordie Howe's career, because I'm just not old enough, but to see just the guy played across five decades.
Yeah, Bobby,
of hockey. It's unbelievable to even think of these days the longevity of starting in 1945 in the USHL and going all the way to 1980 with the Hartford Whalers. He played 80 games that year. It's crazy.
It was. I think he just turned 52 at the end of his last season in the NHL, when, by the way, he was teammates with Bobby in Hartford. And scored 15 goals, played with his sons. Interesting story in the Herald today about when Gordy played with the Houston Arrows of the WHA, and they played the Chicago Cougars for the WHA championship, and the amphitheater was not available, so they played in this little suburban rink that doesn't even exist anymore in Randhurst, 2,000 people. But Gordy just loved the game and played it with great passion, and probably would have played it for free, and in those days didn't play for a lot more, if you know what I mean.
And you've had one-on-ones with Wayne Gretzky, and you've been around the game so long, Bob, but you would obviously say that Wayne is the greatest player of all time. There's no argument there, right?
I don't know how to, we're talking different eras. If Bobby Orr had to retire when he was 30, who knows if his knees had held up, or his knee, what he would have done. He could have played till he was 40, at least, if he wanted to. I don't know. They're all, that's a tough call right there. But for longevity, certainly Gordy.
Right.
Revolutionizing the game, scoring crazy numbers, Gretzky, and also, again, in deference to his idol, Wayne became one of the great, maybe the greatest ambassador the NHL has ever had.
Well, and speaking of some of the best of all time, Bob Verdi joining us here on 720 WGN and announced this week that Bobby will receive the Elmer Ferguson Memorial Award for Excellence in Hockey Journalism. Congratulations on that. A well-deserved honor. What was your reaction to hearing that news?
Well, I was kind of stunned. I left hockey to write golf for a long time, and then the Blackhawks, Rocky Wirtz, and John McDonough kind of brought me back to hockey, and I started writing again, and I guess if you're around long enough, they give you a plaque.
See, Bob, you're always deferential on this type of stuff, but particularly talking about yourself, but you obviously had some strategy in the way you've connected with people, athletes, management. If you were giving advice to, young broadcaster, just anybody who's looking to, build a career and you need connections in this world, I mean, that's what it's all about right now. And what would you say?
I would say you're the conduit of what you're watching through the newspaper or radio or television. You're the conduit to the viewers, the readers, the fans, and don't get in the way. It's not about you. They're not holding the game for you.
That's good advice. Good advice. Bob, what is the sort of the history behind the famous nickname Dollar Bill Wirtz?
Oh dear. Bill Wirtz, may he rest in peace, was a fine man. And when he ran the Blackhawks, and I was covering the Blackhawks either on the beat or with the column for a long time with the Tribune, we had our moments. He did his business his way, and sometimes we disagreed. But I just came up with Dollar Bill. Because, he had this reputation of appreciating the bottom line. His dad, Arthur, was called the Baron of the Bottom Line. Anyway, I gave him that name, Dollar, and I don't think he liked it at first. But then, as he told me, he said when he used to walk around the stadium every once in a while on game nights, all of a sudden, people started coming up to him with with dollar bills and asking him to sign them. And he said, well, geez, this is not so bad. I like this. So I think he ended up kind of liking the nickname. It wasn't, I didn't mean it in a mean way, because he was a fabulous businessman, and what he did off camera for people he employed or for charitable causes, you know, we'll never know. But he was extremely generous that way. It's just his business. You know, we're not going to watch, we're not going to let people watch home games because that would be unfair to the season reservation holders. That's just something that seemed a little odd. And of course, when his son Rocky took over, it didn't last. But to Rocky's credit, although he did many of his practices opposite of what his dad espoused, Rocky always, and still to this day, has done it in a respectful manner. You know, this is Dad did it this way, and I'm doing it this way. And what would Dad think of it? Well, hopefully, he would just think that I'm enriching the family heirloom.
Did you know that Rocky was waiting in the wings, Bob, and that the entire franchise was getting, the way they went about doing their business was going to change?
I had heard that he was next in line, although he was very much basically invisible around the hockey team, you know, tending to the other businesses of the family. And I was told that the line of succession included Rocky. Nobody had an idea how it would go. I think Rocky could have certainly taken over and said, look, I've been handling other, you know, our liquor business, our real estate. Give me 5 years. Give me a five-year plan. Let me get my feet wet here and all that. And, my God, it took 20 minutes. And he basically resurrected a sleeping giant with his policies. He goes and has lunch with John McDonough and would not leave until John said, yes, I'll come aboard. And we all know that's the you're the flagship station for the Blackhawks, and it's an amazing franchise. And I believe me, I would say that even if they weren't signing my paychecks. If I was on the outside looking in, as I was for 30 years or more, I believe I would say the same thing. It's incredible the traction they've achieved in Chicago.
Yeah, no question. And three Stanley Cups later, I'm sure Bill is smiling down and admiring what Rocky has done with the franchise. It's certainly been impressive, as is your career, Bob. Thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate you taking time out.
Don't get a big head about this, Bob.
No, I won't, and I'm not going to eat the sandwich.
I was going to say, go enjoy your sandwich. You can
no,
do
it's
it.
It's done. It's all over right. with.
And actually, get a big head about this, Bob. It's okay. I'd walk around puffy-chested for at least a week around this town. You deserve it.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. Bob Verdi, Blackhawks historian, longtime Chicago Tribune columnist, and now in the Hockey Hall of Fame, the Elmer Ferguson Memorial Award for Excellence in Hockey Journalism.
I feel bad that I am now responsible for him not enjoying his lunch.
See, that's the thing. Like, when we do a topic like that and you impact Bob Verdi's lunch.
Well, it's 3 o'clock. I figured lunch is over. People, you know, I don't know if I would have done this in the noon business hour.
It's okay. I mean, that's a good point. Lunch should be over. But, you know, Bob's got his own schedule. Yeah. You should feel. I feel guilty. I don't know if you feel guilty. I feel guilty. Hey, let's update the baseball. When we come back here, we got our North Side, South Side report. We'll get angry Adam Hogan here. 720 WGN.
Here it is. Line to left. Almora slides, makes a catch, and everybody back to their bases. Two outs. Slicing drive into the corner, and Almora Jr. made the catch. What a play.
2-2. And the Sox beat Kansas City in the opener. 7-5 the final.
number 15 for David Robertson. This was a big one for him and the Sox, a two-game winning streak.
Yeah, that's over.
Yeah, that winning streak is done now.
Highlights courtesy of Comcast, Sportsnet, and WGN-TV. White Sox lose to the Royals this afternoon. Our Northside-Southside report sponsored by Vienna Beef. Interesting week for the White Sox. Very busy over there at 35th and Shields.
Lots to discuss, but really, Jose Quintana, let's start there since he just got his seventh loss of the season. Jose Quintana is now 5-7. On the year. Now, this is a perfect example why win-loss record is basically useless. Because he has a 2.66 ERA. And this team just won't hit for him.
Maybe they don't like him. Maybe they just legit don't like Jose Quintana.
And they're just like, yeah, we're not going to hit today.
Yeah, not into your game. Don't.
He seems like a nice guy.
He does. He does. You know who wasn't a nice guy? Matt Latos. That guy.
He gone.
Which I really appreciated out of Rick Hahn and company, because A, he wasn't good on the mound, and B, in the games that I've covered the White Sox this year, Matt Latos, that guy in the locker room,
what was he doing?
Harassing
everybody?
You? Not everybody. No, he didn't harass me, but he did harass I would call it like borderline harassment of a female reporter.
Wow.
Borderline. It's a borderliner, but it was uncomfortable. She was uncomfortable. Just walked away from him. I'm like, dude,
that's not cool.
That's not cool. See you later. Good effort. We'll see.
Jesus.
And we'll see you.
So he's gone.
He's gone.
He joined. So and Jimmy Rollins gone.
Right.
Jimmy Rollins, Matt Latos gone. John Danks gone. I mean, I don't know how much accountability there is. Well, certainly the players deserve more of the blame than I think the manager. But while the front office has obviously over the years been very loyal to Robin and they haven't fired him yet, they're certainly firing their players that aren't good.
Well,
and they're getting rid of them.
Yeah. Hey, at some point you're not going to be able to fire every single player in there. And if this thing does spin further south by the end of June, who knows what will happen in the managerial seat. It's the last year of the deal and everything with Robin, but I liked what the Sox did this week. Flyer on Justin Morneau, okay. Bringing up Tim Anderson, that's exciting.
It was time.
Yeah, it absolutely wasn't.
By the way, he went 0-for-3 today, though, with two strikeouts, which has been an issue for him, strikeouts.
But he had a couple hits last night, so now hitting .333. We'll see. I have no idea if Tim Anderson's good or not good.
Realize the Royals hit three more solo home runs today? Didn't they hit four last night?
That's a lot of home runs.
For a team that doesn't hit home runs.
Well, and our guy...
They have three or four last night.
I don't recall. You have to look that up for me, Adam Hogue. But I know that the dude, Chesler Cuthbert, hit two solo shots today.
Great.
Who is not...
That guy.
Who was the same guy that crashed into into Salvi Perez a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
Royals are now 31-30, one half game better than the 31-31 Chicago White Sox. Cubs are on the field right now. Anything happens in the Cub game, we'll keep you up to date. Chick Arrieta back on the mound trying to start a new streak. So far, so good. 1-0 Cubs in the bottom of the third.
Three home runs yesterday for the Royals off Chris Sale. Three home runs off of Jose Quintana today. Baseball's a weird sport sometimes. You have a team that doesn't hit home runs against two of the better pitchers in the league, and they go ahead and hit six home runs in 2 days.
That's the game of baseball, Animo. You can never predict what's going to happen. And this is the Hawk, and I'm looking forward to our next road trip where we won't be in first place. No matter what they say, we'll be in first place. No matter what they say, we'll be over 500. No matter what they say.
Back to 500 today.
Now they're back to 500.
Got to win tomorrow. Don't you?
I don't know.
Show the Royals that you can win two out of three.
Baseball season's so long. You can't say it ever in June that you have to win.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Guy that texted me on, was it April or May?
I'm not saying I'm a
second game of a doubleheader. Okay. Got to have this one.
I can be rational. I just can't be rational when it comes to the Chicago Cubs.
Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
720 WGN. Hope you're having a great Saturday afternoon. I'm Mark Harmon. He is Adam Hogue. We did some baseball in the first hour. White Sox fall to the Royals over on the south side. Cubs in action right now with Atlanta leading 1-0. Jake Arrieta, the best pitcher that's ever thrown a baseball on the mound today, looking for yet another shutout. We'll get back to the baseball in a little bit. Emily Williams is a social justice educator. She's a consultant who's developed community engagement programs at multiple universities throughout Chicago. And we're bringing Emily on right now to talk some Muhammad Ali. We did a nice tribute, I thought, last week to him, played some songs and talked about his influence. But we're asking a different question today, and that question being, what would a young Muhammad Ali, 25 years old, look like today? And Emily, first of all, thanks for taking time joining us this afternoon. Great to have you.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks so much for having me on the show, Mark. I appreciate that you all are having this conversation today.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having it. So what do you think about that, Emily? As we, you know, if right now, if Muhammad Ali was 25 and he was speaking out, he'd be speaking out about Black Lives Matter. He would be speaking out about perhaps a presidential candidate talking about banning Muslims. He might be talking about a wall being built. I mean, there'd be a lot, and the country is extremely divided right now. How do you think that would work?
Well, you know, Mark, I don't think that he would be accepted. I think that he would be treated much in the same way that many of the young Black radical activists are being treated right now. And we see that there's, you know, a lot of repression happening. We see that, you know, their movements aren't being respected. And furthermore, you know, people aren't necessarily understanding exactly what it is that they're upset about. And so I think if we had a young Muhammad Ali today, he would be treated in much the same way.
How much do you think social media impacts that? I mean, you talk about the days where Muhammad Ali was speaking out on all those issues. I mean, there wasn't Twitter, there wasn't Facebook, there wasn't anything like that. And social media, in some ways, is a great place to share all these speakers and people with great ideas. But it's also this place where people react so quickly and kind of have a mob mentality against certain people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, and I'm not sure that, you know, social media would impact the way that people feel about the politics. But I think you're right in terms of accessing the politics and then voicing an opinion without the accountability of actually having to have a dialogue or a back and forth. I think the likelihood of that type of dynamic is greater given social media.
You said something just a second ago, Emily, that I find interesting. You're talking about people understanding exactly what they are upset about. I want you to kind of clarify what you mean by that, because I think you're hitting on something that's pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think there's, you know, this idea that, you know, the young Black Lives Matter activists are just sort of, you know, they're just crying about something or they're just yelling about things, as opposed to, you know, their claims and their demands are legitimate, in fact. And I think when we look at, you know, the unrest in Baltimore after the Freddie Gray incident, you know, you had a lot of people calling those things riots or saying that, that people responded in the way that they did undermined their point. But what we don't see is that actually when law enforcement kills young Black people time and time again, that that's actually something that the Black community should certainly be angry about, that actually anger is a logical response to being killed, you know, extrajudicially. And at the same time, it's not only that the Black community should be outraged by that, but everyone should be outraged by that. So I think that's an example. I mean, and I think that you also see that, that their anger is simply seen as anger and sort of criminalized or dismissed, as opposed to actually listening to what the people are saying and trying to empathize and understand, you know, why young Black folks and people with radical Black politics or people who are just fed up with, you know, systemic racism and police killings, you know, why they would take to the streets, right, or why they would have new forms of mobilizing and acting.
Emily, John Williams, who does a show right before us here on 720 WGN, asked us a question, who is today's Muhammad Ali, or who would that be? And Mark and I both looked at each other and didn't really have an answer. And it's interesting to think about these days. It doesn't seem like athletes want to speak out on social issues as much, but also I'm not so thinking it from the other point of view. I'm not sure how many fans want to hear their athletes speaking out on it. And it's just something interesting to think about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I think that, you know, we aren't seeing, so many young athletes speaking out these days. And I think the only incident that I can really remember is when LeBron and a few others, I think about a year ago, wore warm-up t-shirts that said Black Lives Matter. So, I mean, I think that's probably, at least in my mind, that's the one incident that I remember of athletes speaking out. But I think, you know, the people who are carrying on, sort of Muhammad Ali's tradition of Black radical politics are young community organizers. And, you know, many of them are queer, they're Black, they're feminist, they're women, or they're female identified. And, you know, you see them in struggles, you know, especially in the Chicago area around Diet High School, keeping community schools open, undocumented folks who are coming out and they're saying we're unafraid. I think we also saw a lot of young Black radical activists who really came out in the state's attorney race. They're definitely out there, but they're not so much athletes these days.
Emily Williams with us here, social justice educator, consultant. She's a developed community engagement programs for universities around Chicago on 720 WGN. Emily, okay, when I, you know, Adam's touching on whether or not we want athletes to be out front and making statements, and for myself, I love it when people speak out and speak their mind, and particularly when you go back to Muhammad Ali. Here's a guy who, you know, still do his convictions and didn't go to the Vietnam War and gave up 3.5 years of earning in the middle of his prime and was stripped of his heavyweight title bout. I think there is some movement out there of people doing things that are right, and there's a lot of advertisers out there that are looking for a gay athlete to come out and so they can get behind that. And show that they support it. I'm curious if you think that the Nikes of the world or whoever, it's not one shoe company or one fast food or one, you know, bottling company, whatever. Do you think that support would be there if there was a well-spoken, articulate Muhammad Ali type? Or do you think, because I think a lot of athletes don't talk because they're worried that the dough that they're signing, and these are like, I mean, LeBron James is signing a $1 billion shoe deal. I mean, it's major, major money. And I think that kind of impacts about what's being said.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would agree with you. I mean, I think that's right. I think that people probably are concerned about, you know, how much money they're making and whether or not if they take a stand on an issue, you know, whether or not that would impact their earnings. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. But I think in terms of whether or not, you know, sports fans want to hear it, I'm not sure that that's necessarily the point. And I don't think that that was necessarily, you know, one of Ali's considerations. I mean, I think, you know, what motivates someone to speak out politically, you know, in such a way that Ali did is that they're committed to what's right. And they're absolutely committed to, you know, doing their part to create a better world. And, I would love to see sort of those values trump, you know, values of financial wealth, right? Especially in this case, when we're talking about professional athletes who have, you know, extreme wealth in many cases. I think you're right that probably wealth and corporate sponsorships prevent people from speaking out, but I would love to see more athletes be brave enough to take the risk.
And I actually think they would ultimately be supported. Do you look at the way people are celebrating Muhammad as hypocritical, Emily?
Hypocritical in what way?
Well, because he can't, for 20 years, he was maybe the most beloved athlete around and people are calling him the greatest and he was and he is. But he couldn't speak, and he was no longer a threat to knock you out. And, when he was actually verbal, the reaction wasn't the same. So some part, to me, there's like a hypocrisy going on with it. I believe that everybody actually, they love him. But it's like, it's almost like they're not quite understanding how their views have shifted and why they've shifted, perhaps.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I could agree with that. I can see your point there. And I think, you know, I would, you know, ask people who, you know, who say they love Ali and who say that they support his politics, I would say, you know, take that one step further and, you know, learn about some of these movements that are happening around racial justice, around empire, you know, some of the anti-war movements. I would say find out about those and get active around them.
Fair enough. Hey, Emily, we appreciate you jumping on. You sparked some conversation here. We're gonna take some calls coming back here. Thank you for being on WGN this afternoon.
Yep, thank you so much.
All right, that is Emily Williams, once again, social justice educator, consultant, who's developed community engagement programs in Chicago, talking to Muhammad Ali.
If you have reaction to what Emily had to say, 312-981-7200, got a couple phone calls on the line right now. We'll take after the break, so hang on there. Also, Billy Crystal had just some phenomenal things to say about Muhammad Ali at yesterday's service in Louisville, and I wanted to bring some of that to you. We will do that after the 4:30 news. So hang tight, 720 WGN.
So what do we think, team? Do we want the next Muhammad Ali to come along? Now think about that. And boxing's not what it used to be, right?
Here's the thing, though. You can't just have someone come out and start talking out on these issues. You have to have... What made Muhammad Ali so great was, first of all, his boxing. The guy was untouchable, right? Like, literally. Almost literally.
Yep.
In boxing.
True.
Which is hard to do. And almost... You talk about a handful of athletes that have ever achieved close to that status, right? So, and the bottom line is that to have, it's unfortunate, but to have credibility to come out and really be anywhere near the kind of social force that Muhammad Ali was, you have to win. You have to remain relevant, right? Is that fair?
It is.
Remain relevant.
You need to have the platform, there's no doubt.
Like, for instance, Tiger Woods... Well, he's fallen off, right? He's basically disappeared, and he's had scandal. You have to be perfect on the court, field, off the on the ice, and then off as well, right?
Well, I don't know if you need to be perfect. I mean, because he lost to Joe Frazier. But I
guess with that, in that, I meant like no major scandals.
Okay, fine. Now, I agree with
that. You know what I mean?
No, he can't be having some Johnny Manziel lifestyle. For a day.
Well, and then even that, moment. I mean, what Tiger Woods went through, what Kobe Bryant went through. I mean, these are just... So it's hard to grab an athlete that is that successful and then also knows what the heck he's talking about, too, right? And has no major scandals throughout the course of their career. That's hard to find in this world. That's why Muhammad Ali is who he is. And certainly he had his, you know, probably had some of his issues, and like you've brought up many times, he wasn't always liked.
Right.
But that's the kind of the perfect storm, and actually Billy Crystal calls it lightning, which you'll hear from this in about 10 minutes. It's so good. He explained it better than I can, and rightly so, because he was one of his best friends. But that's kind of the perfect storm that Ali was to... be so impactful on so many people, especially all these years when he couldn't even talk.
Right, and another thing that he had going for him is, you know, he's a phenomenal personality. He had humor. He had a way to connect with people that most don't have. And he loved the attention. I mean, this was a guy that enjoyed the spotlight. He was not looking to run from it.
That's another requirement.
Yes.
Because, which also, to Emily's point... I think makes it harder to enjoy today. I think it's harder today more than ever to live the kind of public life that major public figures have to live. There's cameras everywhere. There's phones everywhere. There's pictures everywhere. There's Twitter everywhere. There's Facebook everywhere. I don't blame people for not embracing that.
There are some people that have come into mind that could possibly do it. Like Kobe Bryant, highly intelligent dude.
Yes.
that's any, you know, that's a guy that if he, whatever he wants to do with the rest of his time, he's going to go make stories and video boards and all sorts of.
He's like in all these commercials right now.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem to be that that's the passion for him to be, you know, a social justice speaker, try to make the world better. That doesn't seem to move Kobe. And the text from the 214 saying, how about Roger Federer? I see you. That's funny. But, you know, there was a guy from tennis back in the day, Arthur Ashe, who did speak out about a million different things and was an advocate for HIV and AIDS, which she contracted through a blood transfusion. And that was a guy that, you know, black man in tennis back in the day who was very quiet and respectful, but he did speak out. You know, Michael had a platform which he could have done more in this city. He never chose to. Tiger Woods, that's not his thing at all. What are you smiling at, Adam Hoge?
I think David Jennings just walked by.
Oh, okay.
It was...
Okay. I shouldn't have asked. Sorry.
It was funny.
Sorry. I just think it's an interesting thought of if Ali was 25 nowadays. I mean, and we'll hear Billy Crystal after the news here. So much love for that man yesterday, and so well deserved. But there's something about it that just, I think we need a little look at the mirror at how we could do things a little bit better right now, today, 2016.
Well, we got some of that coming up later in the show, too. Yeah.
All right, quick timeout news at 4:30 with Bob on 720 WGN. Cubs are playing some long ball, Adam Hoge.
Can't you just win a game, like, by one run?
Chris Bryant.
Why do you always have to win by nine or six?
Because they're the best team that's ever played anything. Chris Bryant, a two-run homer. Miguel Montero, a three-run bomb. Rizzo, a solo shot. Hayward, a solo shot. That's what I'm talking about. Cubs 7, Atlanta 1.
You're talking about the run support that Jose Quintana doesn't get ever?
I didn't talk about that, but we can.
No, that's what I'm
will
saying.
You read,
Cubs.
Will you read off your 17-game stat on Jose Quintana before we're going to talk to Nick Wright, who we've had on the show before, doing great work with Fox Sports, and he had some thoughts about both Muhammad Ali and the NBA Finals as well. Can you read that off, please?
Yeah, this is from Chris Kampka, at C Kampka. Good follow for stats and really good stats from Comcast Sportsnet.
Really strong stats.
The White Sox run scored in Jose Quintana's 17 losses in the last two seasons. You ready for this?
I am.
1-0-1-1-1-0-1-1-3-2-1-1-3-0-2-1.
I got confused, but I think that's 20 runs total. I could be wrong. I'm not exactly sure. You have to total that up. I'm not a math major. But regardless, it's not very good. White Sox lost to the Royals over at
19.
U.S. Cellular Field. We'll add that up together, and we'll have a math contest. Hey, Nick Wright, at Get Nick Wright on Twitter, joining us on 720 WGN. And Nick, we had Emily Williams on, who's a social justice. She worked with universities in Chicago, talking about Muhammad Ali and whether the world would accept a 25-year-old Muhammad Ali. And I saw your stuff with Colin Cowherd earlier this week, which you clearly have a strong opinion on how we would not accept a 25-year-old Muhammad Ali, despite the beloved send-off or funeral, I should say, that occurred yesterday in Louisville. Welcome to the show, number one, and number two, your thoughts.
Thank you. I like the tradition of you guys having me on after the Royals beat the White Sox. I think we should do this more often. I mean, this isn't a debate. This isn't a question. This isn't a matter of an opinion. It's a fact. Muhammad Ali, a 25-year-old Muhammad Ali today would be reviled more than he is respected, just like a 25-year-old Muhammad Ali in the 1960s was reviled more than he was respected. That's not some polarizing hot take. It's just what we are as a country. I mean, a few years ago, an unarmed black kid in Florida named Trayvon Martin got killed by a maniac named George Zimmerman, and the Miami Heat decided as a team they were going to pose for a photo wearing hoodies. And that's wasn't well respected, or well received, I should say, by the general public at large. So how would we react to the most powerful and popular athlete in the world, or the most well-known athlete in the world, being a 20-something-year-old black guy, saying the white man is my, you know, the white man is my enemy, essentially, saying the white man is my oppressor? That ain't going to go over well. And what bothered me this week was a lot of people who, let's just be perfectly honest, are Donald Trump supporters, a lot of people who do not believe in Black Lives Matter, a lot of people who think a ban on Muslims entering the country is a good idea, were acting like they loved Muhammad Ali. No, you didn't. You didn't. You hated what he represented. Own that.
First of all, Nick, I'm glad you brought up the White Sox Royals thing, because I was going to if you didn't. But look, we've been talking about this here for a little while now and coming up with plenty of reasons of why athletes today are maybe less willing to speak out on all these kind of social issues. But I want to hear from you kind of why you think that is.
Oh, I think it costs you money. I mean, and Ali, you know, Ali wasn't just risking money. Ali was risking assassination. I mean, let's make that clear. It was in play that Ali was going to be killed for standing up for what he believed in, and he did it anyway. So Ali's a special kind of person. But you can't take a social stance without it costing you money and revenue. Like, it's just, I think it is as simple as that. So let me give you a non-sports example. There is one of the four or five biggest pop stars, music stars in the world, is, I know this for a fact, is incredibly involved in Black Lives Matter. But this person allows their office to be used as a headquarters. This person provides funds, and this person does it all not anonymously. The people involved know that this person's doing it, but that's because it would cost this person so much in concert sales or ticket sales or in overall popularity. It's something they believe in, but not believe in enough for it to cost them money and profile. And I think that's the position a lot of our athletes are in. We're in a dangerous, sad place in America in some ways, where just standing up on the side of justice and equality is deemed political. And as soon as something is deemed political, you're going to have half the country against you. And so I think that's why I read today that Donald Trump said Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger are going to give speeches for him at the Republican National Convention. I don't know how those guys are voting, but I would be shocked if they do that, because they know that will cost them dollars.
Nick Wright at Get Nick Wright on Twitter. Catch him on Fox Sports with Colin Cowherd. Go ahead, Adam.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Nick, because I saw that story too. I was going to mention it later on in the show, and I'm just surprised even that Brady has let it this well known that he's a Donald Trump supporter. It just doesn't seem like a great PR plan and something that can get you in more and more trouble getting closer to the election.
It sounds like an awful PR plan, but he's doing it anyway, sort of.
Well, I sometimes wonder, is Brady in such a cocoon? Like, when he said Donald Trump's my friend and I support my friends, like, did he know that 2 weeks prior Donald Trump had said the Mexicans are rapists? Like, or did he just say, hey, I've golfed with this dude, he seems cool?
Yeah.
So I don't really, which is, so I Trump said Brady and Roethlisberger are going to speak, for him at the Republican National Convention. I would bet that does not happen. That would be Trump obviously is not your typical politician. Now, for some people, that's why they love him. But he is as polarizing a politician as we've had in this country since George Wallace. And so I don't think the most famous football player in the world can go endorse him. But maybe I'm wrong.
Nick, what do you – if you were to pick – handpick one athlete right now to step up, and obviously he's not going to be Muhammad Ali. That you're talking about boxing being on channel, you know, on ABC or you right. know, it would never happen again. The world is not constructed that way. But if you're going to pick one athlete to step up into some form of vacuum today, I mean, who would you even point to?
Who I would like to, or who would be the most likely to do it?
Well, why don't you answer both? Let's hear both takes.
I think the most likely to do it would either be Chris Paul or Richard Sherman. Chris Paul has been active on certain topics. Richard Sherman speaks out a lot.
Sherman's a good
one. He's obviously a very sharp guy. The guy I would like to do it is LeBron. And LeBron dipped his toe in the water. I was very sad that LeBron shied away from the Tamir Rice tragedy, the 12-year-old boy who was essentially killed in a drive-by by a couple of cops, who, of course, no one's going to get in trouble for that because, you know, stuff happens. I mean, that happened in Ohio. That happened in Cleveland. And when LeBron was asked about it, he said he wasn't up on the case. That was disappointing. But LeBron's the guy that can do it. I understand that Steph is the MVP, but is LeBron the most famous American athlete in the world right now? I think the answer is yes. Like, it's probably Michael Jordan, but, I mean, take Jordan out of it as active athletes. I think LeBron's the single most famous American athlete in the world. And, you know, LeBron's from a tough background. LeBron has he put his toe in the water with the Trayvon Martin thing. I would like to see LeBron do it. I just, you know, he's got $1 billion to lose, and so that's a tough thing. And sometimes a really smart person told me once, and I don't know if I necessarily agree with this, but it's interesting. They had someone debating whether they were going to go into public sector or private sector law. And the argument for private sector was, if you want to make a difference, go make $10 million and donate $5 of it. That's going to make a much bigger difference than going to be a public defender. I don't know if that's necessarily true, but maybe it is. And if there's a long game in this for someone like LeBron, I'm going to make as much money as possible and make a difference with my money that I couldn't make with my words. Maybe there's something to be said there. Or maybe a lot of these guys are just like, you know, normal people listening who are not dedicating their lives to social justice. And there's no shame in that. There is no obligation.
Right.
I don't blame anyone for taking the Michael Jordan route. I just wish more people would take the Ali Jim Brown route.
I like that Jordan now has his own route. The not doing anything, I'm going to make as much money route. And that's fine. That's your route. It's just not as honorable as you just mentioned Jim Brown, who heads a lot.
And it's a hell of a lot easier.
You know, no question.
No,
no question. Nick, great stuff. One other thought before you go. I actually think, like, if it was a well-spoken athlete and went hard on a topic and people, I feel like people would get behind what's right and the actually sponsors would gravitate towards that guy. Like, I think they'll.
Yeah, but you got the problem right there, Carm, is no one can agree on what's right.
Yeah.
That's the problem. All of a sudden, if you say, you know what, I think that maybe cops shouldn't be killing dozens of unarmed people a month in this country, you're somehow anti-police. Like, no one can agree on what's right on this. And that's why, like, there is no safe middle ground here, because people, you can't have an opinion on this stuff without somehow it being red or blue. And it's disappointing, but it's the reality.
Right. All right, Nick. Appreciate you, brother. You're the man.
Yep, good talking to you guys. Go Royals.
Oh. Nick Wright. @GetNickWright. And check him out on Fox Sports. He's with the Cowboys.
We'll have him on tomorrow, but only if the Royals win again.
Yeah, that is...
That's the criteria.
That is my guy.
And they have to beat the White Sox before.
Some great stuff there. You want to follow up on it and have the discussion. Can you speak out? Can we agree? Is there any way to move this forward in a positive way? Love to hear from you. 312-981-7200. And also we'll get to our Billy Crystal tribute to Muhammad as well.
Yeah, promise you that. That's coming up next. 720 WGM. Adam Hogan, Mark Carmen here on the Beat 720 WGN. Been promising you some of Billy Crystal's eulogy yesterday of Muhammad Ali at the services. Really good. Got three chunks I want to share with you. The first two are Billy Crystal doing some of his comedy, which is always funny. Love Billy Crystal. And then the last part's a little bit serious and a perfect way to describe Muhammad Ali, in my opinion. But let's start here with the first part and kind of his beginnings with Muhammad Ali.
So many funny, unusual moments with him. I sat next to him at Howard Cosell's funeral. A very somber day, to be sure. Closed casket was on the stage. Muhammad and I were sitting somewhere over there next to each other. And he quietly whispered to me, "Little brother, do you think he's wearing his hairpiece?" So I said, "I don't think so." "Well, then how will God recognize him?" So I said, "Champ, once he opens his mouth, God'll know." So we started laughing. It was a muffled laugh at first, but then we couldn't contain ourselves. Here we were at a funeral, me with Muhammad Ali, laughing like two little kids who heard something dirty in church, you know, and we're just laughing and laughing. And then he looked at me and he whispered, "Howard was a good man." One time he asked me if I would like to run with him one morning, do road work with him. I said, "Well, that'd be amazing. Where do you run?" He said, "Well, I run at this country club, and I run on a golf course early in the morning. It's very private. Nobody bothers me. We'll have a great time." And I said, "Champ, I can't run there. The club has a reputation from being restricted." "What's restricted to me?" "They don't allow Jews there. They don't have any Jewish members." He was incensed. "I'm a black Muslim, and they let me run there. Little brother, I'm never going to run there again." And he didn't.
How about that story?
I love it. It's the best. Good.
So that was actually from a little bit later on in the eulogy, telling just some of his stories with Muhammad Ali as one of his close friends. This was actually from earlier, the second part that we're going to play, which was kind of his beginning with Muhammad Ali.
My favorite memory perhaps was 1979. He had just retired, and there was a retirement party at the Forum, Los Angeles, for Muhammad and 20,000 of his closest friends in Los Angeles. I performed a piece that I had created. The imitation had grown into a life story. It's called 15 Rounds. And I play him from the age of 18 until he's 36, ready for the rematch with Leon Spinks. I posted it on the internet last week, footage that nobody had ever seen before, of me portraying Ali, doing his life for him, all those years ago in 1979. There were 20,000 people there, but I was doing it only for him. It's one of my favorite performances that I've ever done in my life. I sort of got lost in him. I didn't even know where I was at the end of the performance. And suddenly I'm backstage with another heavyweight champion, Richard Pryor. And Pryor is holding on to me, crying. And then I see Ali coming. And he's got a full head of steam. And he's looking only at me. And he nudged Mr. Pryor aside. And he whispered in my ear with a big bear hug, "Little brother, you made my life better than it was." But didn't he make all of our lives a little bit better than they were?
That one resonates with me on a, can we all do that? Like, I want to make your life a little bit better.
Yeah. And that got him into this final part, which was what he had to, his way of describing Muhammad Ali in the perfect way.
He was a tremendous bolt of lightning, created by Mother Nature out of thin air, a fantastic combination of power and beauty. We've seen still photographs of lightning bolts at the moment of impact, ferocious in its strength, magnificent in its elegance. And at the moment of impact, it lights up everything around it, so you can see everything clearly. Muhammad Ali struck us in the middle of America's darkest night, in the heart of its most threatening gathering storm. His power toppled the mightiest of foes, and his intense light shined on America, and we were able to see clearly injustice, inequality, poverty, pride, self-realization, courage, laughter, love, joy, and religious freedom for all. Ali forced us to take a look at ourselves. This brash young man who thrilled us, angered us, confused, and challenged us ultimately became a silent messenger of peace, who taught us that life is best when you build bridges between people, not walls. My friends, only once in 1,000 years or so do we get to hear a Mozart or see a Picasso, read a Shakespeare. Ali was one of them. And yet, at his heart, he was still a kid from Louisville who ran with the gods and walked with the crippled and smiled at the foolishness of it all. He is gone, but he will never die. He was my big brother. Thank you.
This is really good stuff from Billy Crystal yesterday.
It's another great one there, walked with the crippled.
Yeah.
Sometimes people are a little uncomfortable. You walk away. How about you say hello? How about you take a couple steps? How's your day going? We can do better.
We can all do better.
Not to be on the soapbox here. But I'm talking about myself, too, by the way. Thank you very much. Mark, you can do better. Adam?
I can do better.
All right.
We can do better here in the last 2 hours of our show.
We got Hogue headlines.
We do.
That's a good one. And you, if you want to talk some Muhammad Ali, we'll do calls after 5 o'clock here. 312-981-7200.
This is The Beat
on 720 WGN. We lose!
Chicago Sports, spoken here. The Beat is on.
720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
So people want to talk some athletes speaking out.
Are we pushing back my awesome headlines?
Well, we're going to get to them in 1 second. Because just everybody chill out, because we want to serve the people. They've been on hold forever. And then we're going to get to Hogue headlines, which is award-winning, by the way.
It is? Since when?
Since now. I decided that...
You just made an award up?
They're officially Hogue headline. Okay. Hogue headline award-winning. Bill, you've been waiting for a half hour or so. You want to talk about athletes speaking out. You're on 720 WGN. Go ahead.
I got 2 points. As far as Muhammad Ali, I could embrace the athlete and the entertainer without having to embrace the politics. I mean, why do I have to embrace his politics? I like the guy as far as his boxing ability, and I thought he was funny and witty. But that doesn't mean I have to take on his politics to like him.
Absolutely not. You can disagree if you'd like.
Yeah, and I mean, but people are saying, well, these people are cheering him. Well, maybe because they thought he was a great athlete and he was an entertainer, you know? I mean, in that aspect, he was a great human being. But there have been athletes that have spoken out and they've gotten ridiculed. I can name three: Reggie White, Curt Schilling, and Tim Tebow. They made it, because they were on the right, they made fun of him. They ridiculed Tim Tebow.
Well, hold on.
Oh, they ridiculed Tim Tebow. I mean...
No. The only thing anyone's ridiculed Tim Tebow for is being bad at football.
Which he is, Bill.
And Curt Schilling, he got fired from ESPN. He spoke out. But he was speaking out
in things you can't say.
Curt Schilling said that Hillary Clinton should be buried under the ground of a jail. You don't think he deserves ridicule for that?
Well, I think she should be in prison myself. I mean,
okay. Okay. All right, Bill.
Curt Schilling took it to a whole different level.
You want to think that she's in prison, that's fine. He's talking about her being dead under a jail. You can't say that about a presidential candidate, whether it's Hillary Clinton.
And what was his third one?
Reggie White. I don't know. Bill, you're the man, despite not being the man on some of what you just said. Mike, you're on 720 WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Actually, the last caller almost pretty much made my point that I was going to make, that Muhammad Ali was essentially an independent contractor who fought 4 times a year, maybe, and he didn't have to answer to anybody. He didn't have to answer to anyone, and no one had to answer for anything he said after he said something that was either profound or controversial. Today, I think it would be unfair to ask LeBron James to always say something on every topic, and also still, you know, get ready for whether it be game one of the regular season or game five of the NBA Finals. What are your thoughts on Donald Trump or this topic or this topic? I think if you're looking for the next Muhammad Ali, you would have to be a tennis player or a boxer, just because, you know, a team sport oriented guy can't do it and still be just like you and even guys who work at a radio station, pretty much having responsibilities to the corporation that he works for.
Interesting. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you. I don't listen. At the end of the day, I mean, who's more important in Cleveland, LeBron James or anybody else in that organization? I mean, he runs the team. So if LeBron's going to have an opinion on something, what are they going to do, fire LeBron?
No.
They're not. He can say whatever he wants.
Yeah, he basically does everything there.
Right. Yeah. So I think they can. I get the whole point of it's a lot.
I think the corporate stuff.
What do you think about this? What do you think about that?
And by the way, Curt Schilling was actually when he finally got axed by ESPN, which probably should have happened way earlier, it was for sharing that Facebook post that was about being anti-transgender.
Right.
Which, at least to me, is not politics. It's just about being nice to people and being all-inclusive.
Yeah, you can't, when you're working for a corporation like ESPN, he could have been fired for numerous things, and finally the transgender got him.
You can't be racist. We saw someone get fired from the local Tampa station this week for saying
sideline for the Rays
for making racist comments the other day. You can't be sexist. You just in general be nice, which I think is the overall message here that we keep getting back to.
Be inclusive,
inclusive and nice to people. And if you're not, it's not a matter about whether or not you agree with them politically. It's just you can't think that way and represent a company anymore. Sorry.
Right.
And you shouldn't.
And listen, talk show hosts, like I'm almost feeling like you have to respect people's opinions. Talk show host doesn't necessarily have to do that. But because you're supposed to have an opinion on something. If I don't respect something that Donald Trump says, which is about everything he said, then, that's my opinion. And I'm allowed to have it. Just like you're allowed to have your opinion. And then there's a discussion. And then hopefully there's a good radio show. But for an athlete who's asked his opinion on every I get where our last call is going. It's like if you're asked for your opinion on every single thing, it can be that part of it too can be exhausting. What do you think of this? What do you think of that? You had to make a stance on this. Like LeBron was willing to step up for Trayvon Martin, but he didn't want to do anything on Tamir Rice, which is something that he clearly should have had an opinion on because being in Cleveland and unarmed young African.
But maybe the backlash he got from the first one, he just decided to keep his mouth shut.
Yeah, right. Well. And that's therein lies the rub, perhaps.
And again, that gets back to who Muhammad Ali was. He didn't really care, right?
No, he
did not care.
No, he was going
to. He was willing to take it all.
Yeah, I'm going to do myself all day long. 312-981-7200. Do you want a break or do you want to do Hogue?
We're
going
to take the break and then we're going to come back with some awesome Hogue headlines.
How awesome are these headlines today?
I think we got a pretty good group today.
Because you were super excited earlier.
There's a couple I'm really excited for.
Yeah, all right. That is straight ahead.
Nick stole one of mine, though.
Oh, okay. Well,
Nick
that's
Wright
okay.
blew it.
That's okay. You can bring it back. I think that's like I have my own one Carm headline.
I'm just angry because this stupid Royals keep.
Stay positive.
That's hard to do right now, man. Sorry.
Who can win a series tomorrow?
Yes.
There you go. 720 WGN.
Yes. Here we go. Time for Hogue's headlines here on the beat.
So good. I feel at home when Hogue Headlines is rolling.
You feel like you're the home of Hogue's Headlines?
I just feel like everything's right in the world.
That's alliteration. Boom. All right. So we started the show by talking about the great fans of Pittsburgh and how they weren't so great leaving the game the other night early when they could have won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, you hate Pittsburgh.
So before that game, because again, the Penguins could have clinched the Stanley Cup final Thursday night, the Console Energy Center. Well, before the game, the public works crews in Pittsburgh began going to various parts of the city on Wednesday to enforce a little-known ordinance in advance of the Penguins potentially winning the Stanley Cup. Guy Koska, the chief city of operations, says crews were removing couches from front porches, collecting abandoned furniture, and emptying trash containers before Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Final. Quote, the less fuel that's out there, the better off we'll be, he said. The city even plans to empty or lock newspaper boxes so revelers will have less fuel to set on fire. So the city of Pittsburgh was panicking over basically the whole city being on fire if they won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I don't quite get the whole burn the couch I'm really excited. We won the Stanley Cup.
Well, it's stupid to do it, but it happens.
I know. I get it. I know it happens.
So what do you think about the city trying to prevent it ahead of time when, by the way, did you just jinx your team? They lost.
I think... I don't believe in jinxes. There's this, that.
The city said they'd return the couches once the Stanley Cup Finals are done.
That's... Listen, I'm pro-proactivity, if that makes sense. Being proactive is good, but in this case... Listen, if you want to burn a couch, they're going to find one to burn, whether you've taken them all out or you haven't. That would be my general take. It seems a little over the top.
By the way, Pittsburgh's giving their... their city a 90 minute window to party on the street.
90 minutes.
You get 90 minutes.
Let it all out.
Light as many fires as you can.
Go Pittsburgh. Well, they ain't gonna be doing that on the baseball side, so you better get it out with the cup. Although again, Martin Jones standing on his head for the San Jose Sharks in net. Don't count out the Sharks looking for their first ever Stanley Cup championship. I'm Mr. Hockey.
All right, this is my favorite story of the day.
Okay.
Bike thief lassoed by a man on horseback.
You know it's the naked bike riot tonight.
Really?
Yes.
Where does that go by?
They don't let...
Are you going to be in it?
I am going to be in it, and I can't tell you...
Are you
this.
Really?
No, I'm not really, but I...
Damn it.
I want to be in it.
I wanted you to be.
I don't get the whole nude...
It's a little creepy I just said that, but...
Yes, that's not where I thought you were going to say, no. But the nude...
I just wanted the idea of you being in it. Right. I didn't want to see you in it.
Right, no, I got it.
Yeah.
The nude dude on a bike.
The nude dude.
How is that a thing? Anyway, go
Can
ahead.
Can I read this headline again? Bike thief lassoed by man on horseback.
That is...
This is in Eagle Point, Oregon. You probably have a hard time believing this story if they're... weren't the pictures to prove it. A man took off with a bike that police say wasn't his own, and a cowboy, a real cowboy, real life cowboy, Carm, they exist, happened to be in the right place at the right time. He's being called the, quote, Lone Ranger and the John Wayne of Southern Oregon. This is NBC 5 in Eagle Point, Oregon, I'm assuming, or some city over there in Oregon.
Who are those guys? Name the movie. Go ahead.
Most days, Robert Borba is roping cattle and kids.
Go, Robert.
Why is he roping kids?
I don't know what that means.
Not criminals, but his usual routine took an unlikely turn when he went to pick up some dog food at the local Walmart.
Local
Walmart.
Walmart, yeah. Picking up dog food. Okay, go, Robert.
Robert hurts a lady yelling, "Stop him, he stole my bike." The champion bull rider, well, that explains, he's a champion bull rider, could tell the man was getting away, so he got back up. He grabbed Old Gray from the trailer. Old Gray is the horse, Carm.
Old Gray wants to be involved.
He gets Old Gray out of the trailer, went for him. One of the bystanders said, "He did so well, I thought he must be in the rodeo or something. It was perfect." Borba said, "I just roped him, and the rope went down around his feet, and I just rode off like I would if I had roped a cow or something."
There you go. He was in his element. Being natural.
How about a bike thief? Just being dragged by a horse.
I'm just going to rope you down. Hey, that's amazing. That's a skill. A skill that I do not have. So, what's his name again?
Robert Borba?
Borba. Can we get Borba on the show, Dan Long? I'd like to talk to Borba.
Real life cowboy. Just... lassoing bike thieves. We need more of those around here.
We're going to do everything we can to
have... Maybe that's what this city needs.
It needs something.
I mean, we got the cops on the horses, but we should get cowboys.
My new goal in life is to get Borba on the show tomorrow. I want Borba on the show. Dan Long, I believe you can do it.
Do you know who Gene... It's either Machi or Maki. I'm not sure. Gene Maki?
I believe he's a former Chicago Cub.
Jean? I don't know. Yeah, he was pitching in AAA Iowa for the Chicago Cubs. In less than 48 hours, Maki went from one step away from the major leagues to in the company of police.
Oof.
Maki had been pitching for AAA Iowa Cubs as recently as Tuesday, but he was arrested for public intoxication and urinating in public in Des Moines.
Not a good choice.
On early Thursday morning, according to the Des Moines Register, Maki was seen outside the Stuffed Olive restaurant urinating on an employee's car. When asked to stop by the employee, Maki challenged the employee to a fight.
Way to go, Maki.
Maki denied urinating on the car when questioned by police. The Register also notes that an Iowa Cubs spokesperson clarified that the 34-year-old right-hander was released prior to his arrest.
Oh, so Maki was upset. Yeah. And he chose to take out his disappointment by getting drunk and urinating, as you so eloquently put it, on an employee's car. I would suggest to Maki that there are better ways to process your disappointment.
It's been quite the fall for Maki, who, I don't know if you know this, was an effective reliever for the San Francisco Giants in 2013 and 2014, even helping the team win the World Series.
Well, that's the roller coaster of life right there. One day you're winning a World Series, the next thing you're getting cut, and you're, as you so eloquently put, urinating on someone's car. It's the up and down.
All right, this last one's from Deadspin, and I love it.
Okay.
The new Browns facility, the Cleveland Browns.
It's a football team.
The new Browns facility's walls are full of fake quotes.
you.
So the team unveiled their brand new practice facility, and on all the walls, or a lot of the walls, there's actual quotes. It's pretty common in sports. We have some here in Tribune Tower. Some quotes that are just...
It's the quotes that are in the tower. Honestly, if you're walking down Michigan Avenue, it's worth walking in the lobby just to see the quotes. It's really cool.
They're real, as far as we know, unlike these ones.
Yes, they do. I believe they are real quotes.
How about this? Quote, "I'm a great believer in luck, and I find the harder I work, the more I have of it." Thomas Jefferson. At least that's what it says on the wall. Thomas Jefferson never said this. The passage is originally from a 1947 passage that appeared in Reader's Digest by F.L. Emerson. It seems to have been attributed to Thomas Jefferson in the 1980s. The original phrasing was, quote, "I'm a great believer in luck. The harder I work, the more of it I seem to have." But that's not actually Thomas Jefferson.
Accuracy is important in life, especially when you're putting quotes up on a wall.
Here's another one. "Be faithful in small things. It is in them that your strength lies." Mother Teresa.
Mother Teresa didn't say that?
The official Mother Teresa website lists this quote among things that the Nobel, is it Laureate? Wow, I'm going to sound really dumb.
I think you have it right.
Yeah, Nobel Laureate. Anyway, list.
Laureate. Go ahead.
Mother Teresa website lists this quote among the things she definitely did not say or write, and which are not her authentic words.
I don't think Mother Teresa's ever said anything like that before. I think Mother Teresa would seems like almost harsh for Mother Teresa. She's Mother Teresa and all, but I believe that you know, when you misquote Mother Teresa, that's a problem.
There's a whole long page of these quotes that are up in the Cleveland Browns facility that are not real.
When's the last time they won a Super Bowl? Never? Have the Browns ever won it?
No, I don't think so.
It's rough.
The more I practice, the luckier I get. So it's another...
It's a great motto for everybody.
Attributed here to Gary Player. This was actually attributed to another golfer, Jerry Barber, in a book about Gary Player. Wow, these are unbelievable.
I've got one headline for you, Adam.
Yeah?
One Carm headline. It's also, how are you feeling about those Rio Olympics?
Not good. Well, I'm feeling pretty good that I don't have to go to them.
So, if you are going, congratulations on having a ticket to Rio or competing, perhaps if you're an athlete listening. Athletes and spectators at the Rio Olympics will be exposed to deadly antibiotics, resistant superbacteria. This is according to Reuters. Researchers found the superbacteria, which normally only turns up in hospitals, at the swimming and canoeing rowing venues. So you got microbes that had previously been detected at the sailing and windsurfing sites. And then you got hospitals in Rio regularly, I guess, dump waste into storm drains and rivers, substantially polluting the city's water supply. Study found that 90% of samples from the Flamingo Beach, the spectator location for sailing events, had the superbacteria. So a superbacteria can cause hard-to-treat urinary, gastrointestinal, pulmonary, bloodstream infections, and also meningitis.
cool.
The CDC says studies show that these bacteria contribute to death in up to half of the patients infected. Half!
And dead. This is just in the water they're going to row in? I'm good.
They're going to be... I don't even know where it...
Yeah.
All it says, athletes and spectators at the Rio Olympics will be exposed to deadly antibiotics. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, like, I'm good. I'm not going anywhere near there.
Like, that just sucks. These guys have trained, or women have trained their entire lives for this moment. And, like, you got to go to Rio, and you might not be alive. I mean, that's awful.
That's not...
James Harden just bailed.
Hey, someone texted this in.
Yeah.
It's from the 217. The high school...
Yeah, I pulled it up.
Rodeo competition?
Yeah.
Is it Illinois this week?
It's at the Illinois State Fairgrounds. The first day of the Rodeo Association kicks off a weekend competition of the Illinois State. So we got rodeo in the state.
I think we should go to this.
Okay. I like the movie Urban Cowboy.
But another texter said he roped a dope.
It's very good.
Well done.
Another award-winning edition of Hogue Headlines. Was that award-winning? 312.
Except for me butchering...
It's part of Hogue Headlines.
The word that makes your... yeah.
It's okay. It's all right. We're going to talk some White Sox baseball after...
Do we have to?
Well, I think we sort of do. We'll have Cubs post, too. I know that's what you really want to talk about.
What do you talk about with the Cubs? They're good.
How they're amazing.
When do the playoffs start?
Right. It'll be great. Okay. Can't wait to do that.
We'll update you on when the playoffs start. 720 WGM.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
Hope you're surviving the heat out there today in Chicago. I love it. Embrace the heat, right, Mark?
I completely agree, Adam. I like going to the pool, getting a little sun, getting a little refresher. I took a shower outside today.
Really? How'd you do that?
Well, at the old gym, there is a pool and there's a shower out there.
Oh.
Like a wood structure shower. And
weren't naked, were you?
No, I was wearing shorts. Thank you very much.
So you, like, rinse yourself off outside under a pool shower.
Yeah, but there's...
That's a little different than taking a shower.
Well, hold on. There's liquid soap. There's shampoo. There's conditioner. I'm just not nude. It's an outdoor shower. If you like...
We got to get to this a little bit later on. There's a lot happening right there. You threw a lot at me right before we're bringing a guest in.
My bad.
I can't handle this.
I guarantee you our next guest takes lots of outdoor showers as he listens to baseball on the radio or something. Don't you, Jay Jaffe?
Are you suggesting that I am a never nude, like from Arrested Development? No, that's not the case. I take my showers indoors generally.
I'm guessing you've never been brought into a radio program. Asked if you take outdoor showers before.
No, this is definitely one of the weirder setups that I've gotten in 10 years of doing radio spots for sure.
Hey, that's what we do, and it's what we have to do right now because we just can't handle the stress of the Chicago White Sox in this town. You had a great piece on SI.com yesterday, kind of breaking down what has happened to this team, and I guess it's good that they're holding guys accountable and making changes and trying to stay in this thing. But where do you think this ball club is right now, and how realistic do you think the White Sox, how realistic are their chances to stay in this thing?
Well, you know, I don't think anybody is about to run away with this, with the AL Central race. And that's the first thing to remember here. I mean, the Royals, you know, who are defending champions, are a diminished team relative to last year. They've lost Mike Moustakas for the year. They're going to be without Alex Gordon for a while longer. That rotation has two guys producing, Ian Kennedy and Edison Volquez. They're catchable. They've already been in and out of first place. The Tigers are clearly not what they used to be. You know, the Indians have floated to the top at times here. They're not even at full strength. You know, they're missing Michael Brantley, who hasn't given much. They've had two outfielders suspended via PEDs. The White Sox obviously got off to a hot start and have since faded. But, I mean, I think excepting Detroit there, who I just don't see as being a factor here. I think any one of those three teams has the capability, you know, with the right upgrades and a little bit of luck in the health and performance department of winning this thing.
Jay Jaffe, Sports Illustrated, with us here on 720 WGN. So the Sox start out, Jay, as you detail here, 23-10, and now after today's game, they've gone 8-21 since. Which team do you think is more representative of what they are? Because I think most Sox fans right now would say that, you know, they're not as good and they're not as bad, but they would probably lean towards the as bad before actually saying they're a contender.
Well, I think that's, you know, that's the recency bias here. I mean, you've seen this team lose, you know, three quarters of its games for the last month, and you tend to think, boy, this is really, you know, this is who they are. I don't happen to think that. I've got the advantage of the 30,000-foot view here. You know, I think they are a 500-ish team, maybe a little bit better than that, again, with the right upgrades and a little bit of luck. You know, had some things that have gone really wrong, but you know, I mean, you look at that rotation, for example, and despite the fact that there are really only two above average contributors in Chris Sale and Jose Quintana, they're second in the they came into yesterday with the lowest run prevented rate in the league, you know, and that's three-fifths of the rotation with a five ERA, closer David Robinson with an ERA above four. And yet they were still preventing runs at a pretty decent clip. So, you know, I do think that this is not maybe not as bad as it seems. And there's reason to be optimistic about, say, the addition of Tim Anderson replacing Jimmy Rollins or James Shields replacing Matt Latos effectively.
Well, and look, Jose Abreu has been slumping for most of the season. He's showing signs of getting out of that. Todd Frazier, he's been productive, but he's still only batting .211. You think that he'll see some numbers improve too. So there are some signs that this offense could should be better the rest of the season. I'm kind of fascinated by this addition of Justin Morneau. And, I mean, I don't know how much he has left, but what's interesting is that even in the last couple of years, when he's been healthy, he's hit. Right, but he's had struggled to stay healthy. So, how big of a boost do you think Justin Morneau can actually be when he gets out there?
Well, you know, let's remember that Justin Morneau, when he was hitting, he was hitting in Colorado, and while Cellular Field is a hitter friendly ballpark, it is not quite the same extent as Coors Field. So, I don't think we're gonna be seeing Justin Morneau hitting .320 or whatever. As he had in Colorado, but I do think that, you know, if he does get healthy by the All-Star break or around the All-Star break, you know, you've got a modest addition there who's going to be at least you know, against right-handed pitching can be an upgrade on Avisail Garcia or you know, whoever is taking those at bats in the DH spot. You know, it's asking a lot to expect Morneau to get back to what he was in his prime. I think he's, you know, had far too many surgeries and injuries to ever see that again. But I don't think it's hopeless to expect that he could be a solid role player for them.
Well, the bar's pretty low. I mean, Jimmy Rollins was DHing recently. So,
yeah, geez.
I mean, .250 would be an upgrade.
Yeah, no, Jimmy Rollins, you know, I watch the Dodgers regularly. They're the team I grew up rooting for. I saw Jimmy Rollins last year. I saw a lot of Jimmy Rollins last year. And the minute that Corey Seager came up and, you know, and started hitting, it was like, Jimmy Rollins is done. You know, we're never going to see Jimmy Rollins hold a regular job again. And I was very surprised that he landed a starting job with the White Sox this year, because I, you know, what I saw, he was cooked offensively and defensively. You know, to his credit, you know, I think Jimmy Rollins gets a lot of slack because he's Jimmy Rollins with you know, the numbers on the back of the baseball card and a very professional attitude, you know, handling things like a pro, no matter what comes. So, you know, you're going to at least give him a month to sort it out or whatever, but yeah, there's obviously a lot of room for improvement given what he was providing them.
He is J_Jaffe, J-A-F-F-E on Twitter if you'd like to follow him. Writer at SI.com, and according to his Twitter profile, also a dark beer connoisseur like the Sammy Smith Taddy Porter there, Jay. I'm sure you.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it is. That's a delicious option. Hey, from your 30,000 feet view, what do you think about the best team in baseball that's about to go on a three-peat run? We're, of course, talking about the Chicago Cubs crossing town here. There's been a lot of ridiculous reports out there this week about Andrew Miller or some reliever coming to the Cubs for Kyle Schwarber, Aroldis Chapman, which obviously no sane team would do. I mean, what do you think the price tag is for somebody like that?
Well, you know, for Miller or for Chapman?
Let's go Miller first.
Well, you know, Miller's signed for a couple years, a couple more years after this. So, you know, you're going to give up something for him. You're probably going to give up one really, really good prospect at the very least, and probably one very good prospect and one decent prospect, you know, for that amount of time. You know, it's tough to imagine getting more than two quality players out of that. But, you know, again, you're talking prospects and not fully formed players yet. Chapman is a rental. You know, he's going to be a free agent this winter. He's going to seek a long-term deal. You know, so you're probably only talking at best, you know, one usable player and more likely a couple of lottery tickets.
Okay, so you think the Yankees are making that move?
I don't think the Yankees are making that move yet because they've shown signs of life in the last few weeks here.
Right.
You know, come July 31st, that's a possibility. But, you know, I think we're a ways away from that, both chronologically and qualitatively here. There's going to be a lot of competition for his services. You know, and even if you're throwing out a name like Schwarber, well, that's a guy, you know, about whom there are a lot of questions, given his knee injury, you know, and his lack of a position. You know, he doesn't look like he's going to be able to catch at the major league level, and we've seen the outfielding. So, you know, there's a lot of questions. I mean, if somebody else is offering a middle infielder, you know, or something like that, it's the Cubs are going to have to match that.
Yeah, but you're talking. Okay. Not trading Kyle Schwarber for a reliever. Sorry,
but yeah, I honestly don't see that happening. I think there are a lot of reasons why I don't see that happening. You know, I don't see Theo Epstein as being a guy who's going to trade somebody with that kind of power for a reliever.
But I mean, if you're talking, if this is a month from now, or even a little bit more than a month from now, late July, and it really looks like all this Cubs team needs to solidify its playoff run is a reliever like that. You're not willing to trade a guy who's not even going to contribute this year for somebody that can help you win the first World Series in over a century?
Kyle Schwarber's got 5 years of club control left. That's a lot. There's a lot of home runs and a lot of value that Kyle Schwarber still has. You know, we saw what the Cubs were able to do with guys like Fernando Rodney and Trevor Cahill last year, picking them up down the stretch. I mean, you don't need Andrew Miller. Honestly, I mean, if you can get Andrew Miller at a price, yes. I think more likely you go get Aroldis Chapman. You're not going to give up Kyle Schwarber for Aroldis Chapman. You're going to give up something. I don't know. Maybe just I know they just traded him the other day, Arizmendi Alcantara.
Right.
You know, more like that's more the name we're talking. Something like that. You know, it's going to be something a little bit lower in the checklist. Rather than a blue chip guy who's already established himself at the major league level, at least in terms of can he hit pitching.
Yeah, you can have all the Arizmendi Alcantaras and Dan Vogelbachs. A guy who's blocked at first base. I still wouldn't even want to give up that for Andrew Miller, but I would do it. My co-host Jay is looking at me like I'm crazy. They're relievers. You roll the dice on someone else. They're going
to
be
exactly. I mean, you're talking about trying to catch lightning in a bottle for 20 innings, and the variance trumps everything.
But there's a lot of people in baseball who think you win in the playoffs with a deep bench and a deep bullpen.
Well, that's absolutely true. But at the same time, you know, there's a lot of ways to get to that path, and it doesn't necessarily mean taking on, you know, $30 million in salary and giving up Kyle Schwarber.
Hey, baseball wants to raise the strike zone, Jay, before you go. You into that? You want more action in your baseball?
You know, I think it's worth considering, but I do think that the law of unintended consequences is always going to come back. And the fact is, you know, you're going to end up making life harder on pitchers at a time when, you know, we've already got tremendous injury problems. So I think you got to find a way to counterbalance that somehow. You know, just taking away that rapidly expanding lower portion of the zone, which we've seen happen over the last few years, you got to give something back somewhere else.
Jake, great stuff.
Yeah, man.
Nice piece on the White Sox. Appreciate you joining us today.
Sure thing. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Jay Jaffe from Sports Illustrated.
He showers naked. He just didn't want to admit it. I know it. Dan Long, will you confirm when you say thank you?
Wait, why don't you clarify that a little bit?
Okay, showers naked.
Outside.
Showers naked outside.
I think most people shower naked.
Right, I meant outside.
Okay. I need to argue with you about this trading Kyle Schwarber thing.
Okay, let's do it. Come on back.
I mean, you Cubs fans are unbelievable. Haven't won a World Series in over a century.
That doesn't mean you act
and you're
desperate.
Not willing to part with Kyle Schwarber. If I said to you right now, if you trade Kyle Schwarber tomorrow, you are winning the World Series.
That's ridiculous.
Would you do it?
Of course, but that's not reality. You want to play a fake fantasy?
This guy's not even going to help you this year.
You don't need to trade Kyle Schwarber for a reliever. Go out and get another reliever. There's going to be a million of them out there.
And what Jay said, yo, they got Fernando Rodney and who else last year?
Trevor Cahill.
Look how far they got. They got swept by the Mets in the NLCS. That's not good enough this year.
It had nothing to do with their bullpen. They couldn't hit. I'm not trading a 23-year-old Kyle Schwarber, which, by the way, he's not as bad in the outfield as everybody thinks. It's not great, but it's not terrible. He needs to learn how to back off.
Coming from the guy that is mad at him for running out the way he did.
Well, right, because he's not experienced. But
okay.
Here, 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in. We can discuss this coming back here.
I think you're crazy.
Schwarber, trader for a reliever guy. It's just not. And the Cubs game is about to wrap up, too. We'll do a little Cubs post.
I'll give you David Robertson for him.
720 WGN.
The event everyone kind of forgot about today, the Belmont Stakes. Creator is your winner of the Belmont Stakes. By a nose.
Do you have any money on it?
No. I gave up horse racing forever after
your last bitter loss.
What happened in the Preakness?
You know, tonight, Adam Hoge, I'm Mark Harmon, 720 WGN, Dan Long producing the beat. Tonight, it's the OJ 30 for 30.
Yeah.
8 o'clock Eastern on
I'm really excited about this.
Yes. Richard Deitch, who does an SI media column, is calling it the greatest thing that ESPN's ever done.
Yeah.
And if you watch 30 for 30, they do a lot of...
They're all good.
They're all amazing.
Yeah. Some are really good. Some are just good. Almost none of them are bad. You know what's actually...
It's kind of like the opposite of our show. Let that sink in. I was hazing us. I was kidding. Our show's amazing.
Yeah,
continue
I'm just
on.
Trying to... So you're saying they're all usually really bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're just bad.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I get it. No, that's true. I think me thinking about you, what you just said, is an example of that.
Yeah, that was,
actually.
Yeah, that awkward pause there was...
Right.
That was like
perfect.
That was really bad.
I was going along with what you were saying.
My comment was just bad.
It was a bad comment.
Yeah, it was bad.
And my follow-up, my silence, was bad for radio.
Yeah.
Because it's radio and you're not supposed to be silent.
But I think it's okay, though. Like, I think the really good radio hosts, they know to talk and then just let it sit there.
Okay.
I've been working on that. Have you noticed?
Yeah, you, like, fell asleep in the last hour. I'm just kidding.
I got in a relaxed mode with Jay Jaffe.
You got your feet up. You're laying back.
Well,
usually you're all standing up, like, hyper.
This is a new thing for me. I
got you some coffee. You didn't like it. You had to put more cream in it.
I went up and got a little. I stole some milk from Aubrey Mumpower. Thank you, Aubrey.
That's dangerous.
I always have Aubrey's milk.
Jeez. I don't know what that means.
Aubrey's.
I don't want to know.
Aubrey's always gracious with allowing me to have some of his whole milk. He's such a good Aubrey. Where is Aubrey? I want to get Aubrey on the show. David Jennings will have the news at 6 o'clock. Maybe he knows where Aubrey is.
No one knows where Aubrey
is. It's an awkward turn on the show.
You're about 2 hours and 3 minutes early.
Okay, so Aubrey comes in at 8. I won't be here then.
Nope.
Well, I look forward to the next time I see him. Adam, I'm sorry. What were you talking
about? I have no idea.
You had something.
I really have no idea.
You had something.
I know I did. I lost it. I completely lost it.
Hey, Adam, did you know that if your dad is a WGN listener?
He is.
You know he's been hearing a lot about MyPillow for years now.
He has.
And he probably wants to try one out. Give him a MyPillow for Father's Day. It's a perfect gift. It's guaranteed. It's the most comfortable pillow he'll ever own. The first night he sleeps on it. That's right, Richard Hogue. The first night you sleep on it, you'll understand why they've sold over 12 million and people get the best sleep of their lives. They have this patented interlocking fill that conforms to a preferred shape, and they're machine washable and dryable and proudly made right here in the USA. MyPillow has a built-in cooling effect that keeps your head cool throughout the night. They even have a 10-year will-not-go-flat warranty, and right now, they'll give you 50% off all products using promo code WGN. So go to MyPillow.com, use that promo code WGN at checkout or call 800-299-9579, MyPillow.com, 800-299-9579. Use that promo code WGN. You get 50% off. Dad will love you for it.
Cubs fans, you're up next.
World Series. That's what we were supposed to talk about there. The best team ever.
The segment's over now.
Oh, okay. 720 WGN.
What in the why?
Chicago sports spoken here.
What in the sports is it going on here?
This is The Beat.
I don't know why, but I find it very entertaining that a sailing race can't start because there's no wind.
It doesn't seem possible. There's, like, never not wind in this city.
Right. It's, well, even though the Windy City, that name comes from
politics, yes,
things are not wind. It is funny to have a, like, a, as you call it, a sailing, a brigada, right? Is that what it's called? A regatta.
I'm going to stay
or
silent.
Or is that a, Jesus.
I'm an expert
we
on.
We should stick to the five major
listen, sailing,
sports teams.
Sailing might be one of the cooler things to do, to go out on the lake, to spin around.
And there's a ton of sailboats out there every weekend.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Talking, watching, doing anything but being on the actual sailboat, maybe, I have no idea how anyone would ever go down to the beach to watch sailing.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, you go out there this morning and it's probably a great day and
Dave Schwann with outstanding reporting, by the way.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he got down
the
there.
The race has not started.
He is.
It is a two-hour no-wind delay.
I have a visual of Schwann just combing the lakefront, talking to high-ranking sailing officials and finding out that, indeed, the race is not going to start. That is, that's not an easy job out there.
A guy in a Chris Sale shirt just walked by.
Okay.
See what I did there?
Yes, that's also.
I mean, this idea that everyone's down there. All right. It's a great day, beautiful city, Navy Pier, sun's out, got a great crowd, just waiting on that wind, which none of us can control.
312-981-7200.
Oh, here comes a gust!
Great topics by Mark Carmen. What would you rather do than watch sailing? Things you would rather do than watch sailing as we get into our Cubs postgame. 312-981-7200.
I'd rather read you the Cubs 40th round draft pick.
Who was that?
With the 1,214th overall pick, the Chicago Cubs draft right-handed pitcher DJ Roberts.
DJ Roberts?
Out of Atlantic Coast High School in Florida.
I mean, that's a big acquisition right there.
I mean, dude, there's no way these guys could know anything about these players at when you're talking about the 1,214th overall pick.
There you go again, underestimating Theo Epstein. Man knows everything.
Come on.
Theo Epstein knows when you went to the bathroom today. He knows the time.
He knows what I did?
Yes, he knows the time.
Did he watch you take your outdoor shower?
He had somebody with a camera somewhere.
Is that why you had your swimsuit still on?
Actually, it wasn't a swimsuit. They were just standard basketball shorts.
You took it. Okay, yeah, we got to get back to this. You took a shower outside.
Yeah.
In basketball shorts.
Yeah, with people watching. I go with a slow,
With soap.
Yeah.
What'd you do with the basketball shorts?
I wore them.
But, like, what'd you do after that?
I put them in the drying swim short mechanism. You know, you push down it and it goes and then I put them in my bag and I went home. It's very...
They don't get messed up in there?
Messed up how?
Well, those things can damage your suits a little bit.
I'm not...
Over time.
I'm not worried about that. They're shorts.
I'm just really confused about this whole outdoor shower situation.
Summertime is to be taken advantage of. Showering outside in the summer is a liberating experience. I highly recommend it. If you'd like to come over to the club, which is one of my few luxuries in life, is what I would call it, I would splurge for your guest fee, and you can take a shower outside too. I'll video it and put it up on the old website.
The only time I've been over there is when I had lunch with Cap.
Cappy boy.
And he knew every single person in the building.
Hey, buddy. What's up, pal? If I need a nap, I put on the Cubs from the 847. I think that's some hazing of sailing. And watch grass grow from the 773. This is going to hurt you, this call. What would you rather do than watch sailing? Katie, you're on 720 WGN.
Oh, I got three adult sons. We'd rather watch Bears 24/7, 12 months out of the year. We love them, love them, love them. When the bear season, when football season ends, we go into depression. We don't know what to do on Sundays.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that you'd rather watch a sailing event than
God, no. Yeah, God, no. That's like watching paint dry.
Who's your favorite Chicago...
That's like taking sand to the beach.
Who's your favorite Chicago Bear, Katie?
Oh, honest to God, I'm really sad that they let Forte go.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think what the hell they were thinking, you know. And yeah, I'll tell you what really irritates me is U of I took Lovie Smith and gave him that, what, $6, $7 million contract for down there at U of I. Our state's broke, and they got him down there with that kind of money. But no, I love Matt Forte. I thought he was great, you know.
Yep.
Why the heck they let him go?
Katie, if it makes it feel better, Lovie Smith's contract is not paid by taxpayers.
Oh, don't we support
It's donors. It's donors that support the athletic department down there.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, thank you. That makes me feel a lot better. Honest to God, really.
Thank you, Katie. Great.
Have a good one. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for calling. 312-981-7200. Things you'd rather do than sailing. I mean, she just went all the way to the Chicago Bears football, which means you actually like sailing, even though I don't think Katie really liked sailing all that much.
I would rather watch the...
Tennis or sailing?
I think I'd watch sailing.
No, you wouldn't. That was a troll.
I played tennis yesterday.
You told me. How'd it go?
It's still there. I mean, I need some work. I need some practice. But I bet you if you gave me like a couple months, I could play a game with you to the point where you wouldn't be annoyed by me. Does that make sense?
Sure.
You would probably still beat me.
Well, I lost to Jeff today as my tennis season is spiraling out of control.
Jeff Joniak?
Not Jeff Joniak, no. It was Jeff.
My Uncle Jeff?
Not your Uncle Jeff.
Those are the two Jeffs I know.
This was good old Jeff. It was so hot on the court, man. I was telling myself, just go ahead and lose and it'll all be over.
Just take a nice outdoor shower and wash this loss away.
That's exactly what happened. Ooh, Mark wants to defend watching sailing. Mark, let's hear this,
yeah,
Mark.
Yeah, it's Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, hi. How you doing?
Yeah, we're good, Mark.
So I've been sailing for 40 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And sailing, the racing that they're doing out there is very exciting. It's very, very nice to watch.
How so?
Those boats are going 30 miles an hour.
But, like, Mark, if you're sitting on the beach and there's, like, a boat way out there, like, in the far-off distance, how can you really, you know, get a sense of what's going on?
You can't. And that's why they did it where they did it, right in your Navy Pier. So people can come down and watch, and it's an enclosed course where they can't, you know, it's kind of controlled. So it's for the pure sailor, it's got a little bit of a nuance. You know, it's like having a football game where the field is a little bit different, you know, because they can't set the course any way they want. Because they want to do it where people can watch.
So, wait a second. Now, there's like an obstacle course that they're sailing around?
No, but they so in a typical sailboat race, you want to sail straight upwind, and then you go straight downwind.
Okay.
Right? Because what they're doing here is they're having a course that it's preset so that people can see it. The course may not be exactly square to the wind the way you would normally do a sailboat race.
Or there might be no wind.
Might be no wind. You know, I mean...
Well, there's no wind this morning. That's why I brought it up.
Well, but the fact that there's no wind for this event, okay, or if the wind isn't strong enough, they'll delay. That's a common... it's like having a rain delay in baseball. You know, it's just the fact that there's no wind. But sometimes when there's a sailboat race and the wind is very, very light, it's very, very intense. The boats may not be going fast, but every little thing you do makes a big difference.
Mark, is sailing your favorite sport? Like, would you
it's
rather
my favorite sport?
I'm doing
next weekend. I'm sailing with the GLSS, which is the Great Lakes Single Handed Sailing Society. We're sailing from Chicago to Mackinac Island solo.
So you're going to get out there on Lake Michigan and just head over to Mackinac Island.
333 miles.
Can Adam and I come with?
I'm not going.
No, it's solo. You can't come with me.
Why not?
Because it's a solo race.
Oh.
Wait, so you're in your own individual one?
Yeah, one person, one boat.
Jesus, be careful out there, man.
Is there room for more? I understand the technicality that I'm not allowed to come with you, Mark, even though I've got the same name, Mark, and I feel like we've bonded over the last 3 minutes that you've been on the air. Is there room for me on the boat?
You can call. I'll call you. I'll text you.
Oh, but
I got a lot of time.
Oh. You should call us during our show next weekend.
Could you call us in competition?
Can I call you what?
I mean, could you still be competitive and call us?
Like, call the show next weekend.
Yeah.
Okay. You call the show next weekend when you're on your sailboat.
Okay.
All right. Thanks,
Mark. I'll call you.
All right. Be careful out there, though. Lake Michigan's no joke. You know that.
Mark, get a victory.
No, I know.
All right.
Okay, great. Thanks. Bye. Right.
By the way, I didn't mean to, like, laugh as loud as I did, but, like, he's like, this is why sailing's so awesome. They go 30 miles an hour.
You dogged the speed of the sailboat. That was a passion.
You guys should talk to Schwann, because he's taking the race.
Well, let's get him on the horn. Where is he?
I'm assuming he's...
Well, we've heard his reports, yeah.
If the cup race is over, then he probably has already left, but if you want, I can see if I can... Get his number, and I'll have your producer reach out and see if we can grab him.
Okay, we'll do that.
Hey, okay,
yeah.
Thank you, David. I want to talk to Dave Schwann about this.
I just wanted him to set the scene of the sailing race with no wind.
Dave Schwann.
By the way, I don't have any problem with sailing.
I don't have a problem with it. I just like the concept of people. Like, I just think it's amazing what people will go and watch. I'm now going to watch checkers, or I'm going to go to a poker tournament, watch people play poker. Like, you ever watch? I'm going to watch them in a high level hold'em tournament. Ooh.
Yeah, that doesn't do it.
And
to me.
I do actually watch it on TV, but like
you do.
Well, yeah, I like the strategy. I like poker.
So why don't you like the strategy of sailing? There's a lot of strategy.
That's not comparable.
You gotta pull the.
Yeah, pull the thing.
And then get the angle of the thing, and then the wind has to be there, but you can't control it at all, and there's no wind.
The one time I went, one of the few times that I went sailing back in the old overnight camp days in my privileged childhood, I had my head out of the Phantom boat, which was, by the way, this wasn't like super rich camp, but it was a camp that did have some boats, and I put my head into the water. And it wasn't that warm of a day, so the wind's going through. I've got this cold head. I ended up with pneumonia. I was in the infirmary for like a week. It was
just because you put your head in the water.
Well, I think because I got myself all wet, and then it was cold out there. So we were out there for a while, and I never got sick.
If it was cold, why'd you put your head in the water?
I just needed
that outdoor shower.
I didn't really know what I was doing. It was
outside. Love to get myself wet.
I had bad sailing technique. 312-981-7200. Do you love sailing? Hey, Adam, do you wish you were handier around the house? Learn how to tackle.
Actually, I do.
Well, you can learn how to tackle
Especially
those.
Right now.
Yes. Well, you got a new house. You can learn how to tackle those DIY projects with some help from local home experts. You can do it with Weekend Workbench, Sunday mornings at 11 on WGN-TV. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. For the record, Sailing Talk was not on the rundown today, but that's just the organic nature of this show.
I just love that there was a sailing race with no wind.
Yeah, we would like to come sail away with you, but there's no wind, so we can't sail away with you, song singer.
Gotta put the motors on. Go faster than 30.
312-981-7200. Is there anything worse in life than watching a sailing race? We're getting a lot of people who love some sailing, or at least some people that love some sailing. Hogan does not love sailing.
I think we should say that.
I'd like to have a sailing outing. Me, you, Dan Long, Stephanie Menendez wants to come. I can feel it. Awkward pause on the show. Taxi driver Bob, you're on 720 WGN.
That means no.
I'm on my way to a paint drying contest. Did you guys want to partake in that, maybe, or not really?
to be with you, taxi driver, I would. I'd be there, pal. You know this.
The only way I'm going to watch a sailing race is if you have beautiful women there that don't have any clothes on the top of the boats modeling. But that's the only way I'm going to watch any sailing race.
Wait, hold on a second, taxi driver Bob. Let's delve into that. One of them, if they were wearing clothes, you wouldn't watch it. If they were beautiful women, they have to be nude.
Well, they don't. I mean, bikinis are fine, but you know,
okay.
I mean,
okay.
But anyway, did you? I had another thing. Did you see? Yeah, that Ditka commercial on that kind of brought up. I saw him on, I think it was Channel 9 last week on like Friday, and they were talking, one of the news stations. And he was talking about how he was going to vote for Trump. Have you seen Ditka lately?
I haven't seen him, but I do know that he's supporting the Donald, and he's
looking long in the tooth, man. He's looking, Ditka's looking old.
Well, he's not a young man, taxi driver Bob.
No, I know, but he certainly is starting to really look pretty old. I don't know what it is, if it's the sun or all the boozing up or whatever, but or if he still does that, but he doesn't look too great lately.
Still, taxi driver, you have a great rest of your Saturday, brother.
You do the same.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah, Mike Ditka, say what you want about him, and I don't agree with his politics, but still the most entertaining coach we've ever had in the city by leaps and bounds.
Entertaining, yes.
I mean, Ozzy, I guess, would be in there too. But he's no Ditka.
Ozzy was
entertaining, but Ditka was the best.
But if Ozzy coached the Bears, would he have been the best? Like, Ozzy was coaching the White Sox, so.
It's true, but Ditka.
I mean, Ozzy said probably more than. Who do you think had more of a filter? I think Ditka had more of a filter than Ozzy. I mean, Ozzy just said everything.
I mean, Ditka would scream at fans, Ditka, it's your IQ buddy zero.
Don't you miss the Ditka post dugout conversations with Ozzy, like when their quarters were turned off, he would sit there and talk to us for like another 15 minutes every day.
I tell you
about
that,
everything.
I tell you that one about Alex or Derek Jeter, rather.
I don't know. I don't remember.
He basically said, if I had a daughter, I'd tell her to marry him.
Oh.
And he did it a little more aggressive way.
Remember when Ditka did the seventh inning stretch?
Yes, he was out of breath and weird.
It was one of the strangest things I've ever heard.
Yeah, that was bizarre. That's David Jennings. His news is in 2 minutes on WGN. Amy Guth warming up in the bullpen. She'll be here at 7 o'clock. Also, a little bit before that to talk with us. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Adam Hogue. Wrapping up the beat, final half hour here. Cubs a winner in Atlanta, 8-2. Jake Arrieta, 7 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs. They were earned. He walked 2, struck out 3, 105 pitches. ERA at 1.86 as he picks up win number 10 on the season.
I can't believe he gave up 2 runs.
He sucks.
Just unacceptable.
Yeah, I would trade him. I wouldn't sign him. I would do something different with Jake Arrieta. No, he's another phenomenal performance. Starting a new streak, maybe he won't lose again for 27 straight starts. And
that would go very well for you guys if he did.
That would be great. The Cubs got homers today from Jason Hayward, a solo shot in the first. Then they got an Anthony Rizzo bomb, who was back in the lineup after a sore back yesterday. Rizzo with a bomb to right. Then you had a Miguel Montero three-run shot in the same fourth inning. That put him up 5-0. And then Chris Bryant with a two-run bomb in the fifth. And then Dexter Fowler with an RBI double in the sixth. That accounts for your 8 runs, 8-2, your final.
So I want to ask you and our listeners two simple questions. 312-981-7200. Cubs fans, this is your chance to chime in to today's episode of The Beat. What does this team need right now, in your opinion?
Health. Nothing.
So you don't need to add anybody?
I mean, need? I don't really think.
Think October.
I understand.
Not right now. Think what you need in October.
I mean, their number.
And remember that after the trade deadline, you can sign a guy here.
If they went into October right now with this roster, I'm comfortable. Could they add a reliever? Sure.
Okay, what are you willing to give up for that reliever?
Not a lot.
So who are you going to get?
I'll take it doesn't have to be Andrew Miller. It doesn't have to be Aroldis Chapman. Although, I'd give up a bunch for Aroldis Chapman. I'd give up a little bit more.
Okay.
Even though he's a rental, I just think that guy is so dominant.
So what would you give up for him?
Dan Vogelbach. Dan Vogelbach is ripping balls at first base in the minors.
Okay.
If Rizzo gets hurt, Vogelbach's your starting first baseman.
Okay.
That's not nothing.
I don't know enough about the Yankees to really understand what they would want.
So you're like all desperation over there. You think the Cubs should give up whatever they have to.
I'm not desperation. I'm just like, you can't blow these opportunities.
I get what you're saying there.
Look at the Royals right now.
Okay.
Lost 8 in a row. Like, the Cubs are so good right now, could you even fathom them going through an 8-game losing streak at any point in the season?
No, I could not.
Right.
Kansas City went to Game 7 of the World Series, lost in 90 feet away with Alex Gordon on third.
And then won it. And they didn't really lose anybody.
And they were super aggressive in their second year going out and picking up Johnny Cueto.
Well, I guess they did lose Ben Zobrist.
He's only hitting .322 and is the best player in baseball.
But look, they're still a good team, but they've had injuries. And that's the thing. So you said health.
Yeah, just keep them healthy, man.
Are you deep enough?
Because
you're not going to get through 4 months of the season without any injuries. I hate to break it to you.
No, but okay, so Rizzo gets hurt yesterday. They slide Javi Baez in to start at first for a day.
Then he comes back and hits a home run today.
Right. And if he had been out for a little while longer, you could play Baez at first. You could play Bryant at first. You have a lot of options. They get hurt. Soler gets hurt. What ends up happening? Well, then we can do a million things. We could put Ben Zobrist out in the outfield for a game or two. We can go and trade for Chris Coughlin for our Arismendi Alcantara. We can,
this team is stupid.
We could play Javi Baez in the outfield. I mean, they're just.
It's unbelievable.
Matt Caesar, by the way, you're like a decent fourth, fifth outfielder. You can play too. You got to give Theo and them credit, man. I mean, they've done it. 734 text again. Your biggest Cub concerns, 312-981-7200. Rest, not to burn out.
I agree.
Don't burn them out.
I think you should go to a 6-man rotation right now. You lose that 6-game every time, who cares? You're still going to win the division.
Yeah, they'll win the 6-game. They'll just score a ton of runs for whoever's pitching.
I'm only half kidding about that, by the way.
And that's the other thing.
Get these guys ready for October any way you can.
Well, and look, you know, Soler gets hurt. What happens? We'll bring up Albert Almora, our center fielder, next year when Dexter Fowler's gone. And he's going to throw a guy out at the plate in his first game, and he's going to get a knock, driving a run. I don't know if he's going to be the star that many people projected a couple years ago, but he looks like he's probably going to be a decent player. They have had an incredible success rate.
It's especially for baseball.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, in baseball, you're not hitting a very. Think about it. There's 40 rounds in the draft. And well, like every year, you're lucky if one of those guys like contributes to your major league team. Ever. That's why with the Sox having three picks in the top 49 this year, like they got to go 2 out of 3 with those three guys, which is not easy to do.
You just got to start winning some games over there.
Yeah, but they seriously, they're like the Bears to an extreme. Like, hit some draft picks. Eventually, especially position players.
They have been great really since drafting Chris Sale. Cubs are at Atlanta tomorrow, then no day off, straight to Washington, and you get to play the Fighting Dusties, who had some really interesting stuff in Paul Sullivan's column, which you should check out online. Dusty will forever be bitter about what happened here, and I can't say that I blame him. I mean, Dusty, he's talking about Larry Rothschild and how come he didn't get any blame for Pryor and Wood. And how come when they were asking me to lie about Pryor's shoulder and saying it was his Achilles, why is this all falling on me? And how he doesn't like to think about his time in Chicago because he likes to think about positive things. I mean, Dusty, and right now, when you look at, you know, what's possible for the rest of the season, I mean, you know, the Cubs are the best team ever. They're going to win their division. But the Nationals are 38-24. They're 3.5 games up on the Mets. It'd be a fun NLCS. You could have a Dusty Cubby NLCS.
Oh, my God. That just sets it up perfectly for you guys.
It's unbelievable.
For like, the ultimate nuclear bomb.
Lose to Dusty? That's so Cub-like.
Oh, my. I mean, that would be the most Cub thing ever. Lose. And the problem... Probably blow it somehow, too, right?
Yeah, like something would happen where all of a sudden Dusty realizes he should go out to the mound with 5 outs to go, and he'll talk to...
Settle some guys down?
He'll settle down Max Scherzer like you did not settle down prior.
Yeah.
And then after the game, I'll be like, you know, I just wanted to... You know, I felt like you needed to be settled down. And I remember being here in 03, and I didn't do it. And you know what? That was my fault, and so I felt like I would do it now, and... Thank God we won, and now I'm in the World Series again. Anything's possible.
Carmen meltdown. If I see, that happened.
I like Dusty. I don't think he was a great manager, but I like him. I don't boo Dusty like many Cub fans do when he comes out to make a pitching change. I think it's moronic. Boo Dusty. You've won for 99.9% of Cub fans. As in, if you're not 108 plus, you've won two playoff series, in your entire Cub fandom. That was last year against the Cardinals in 2003 against the Atlanta Braves. They were 5 outs away from the World Series. Should he have come out to the mound and calmed down Mark Pryor after the Moises Alou meltdown? Yes, he should have. Joe Maddon would have been out there. 100%. But... Did he run Pryor and Wood in the ground? A little. So I do hold him accountable for that. But
by the way,
we're not
going
to boo the guy.
Speaking of Dusty, because the White Sox fans booed him for a second the other night just because he took forever to decide if he wanted to review a play or not. How long do you get? Like, he must have stood there for a minute at the top step of the dugout. Like, wait. Like, how long do you get to review the play on your own before you have to tell the umps?
I'm not exactly sure what
it was. Ridiculous. Like, make up your mind. Let's go.
Well, it's the way they do it is the ump just looks over and they're like, hang on. They got the hand up. Hang on. We're still looking at it.
But so, like, how long? So the team gets 5 minutes to review it, and then they decide if they want the umps to review it, and then they take 5 minutes. And then it's like, come on. This needs to be sped up.
We are a very impatient society. Let's go. I don't want to sit here at the baseball game while you're doing this. I agree with you.
I don't mind waiting for the reviews because I think the call should be right. I mind waiting for the managers to decide if they are going to ask for the review. Like, you should get 10 seconds there. That should be part. You don't get to look at every single angle before you decide whether or not to use your challenge.
And White Sox fans should appreciate the fact that Dusty was actually trying to figure out whether or not to replay it because their own manager... Just,
I think the White Sox lose every single one.
He just mails it in. Yeah, nah, I'm too busy. I don't want to look at that at all. Just play on. It's the first inning. It's a stolen base. No big deal.
Oh, Alex Avila hit 2 home runs yesterday? Oh, yeah, you're not playing today. Sorry.
That was interesting. White Sox, if you're just joining us, fell to Kansas City today 3-2. Hey, Adam Hoag, the Midwestern University Multi-Specialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive patient-centered healthcare experience at their family medicine clinic, their speech language institute, their physical therapy institute, their dental institute, and eye institute. At their clinic, you'll receive quality care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Learn more at MWUClinics.com or call 630-743-4500. That's 630-743-4500, the Midwestern University Clinic, your family's home for health care.
We will take a time out, catch up with Amy Guth, who's up next here on 720 WGN.
Wrapping it up here on the beat, Amy Guth up next. So the Golden State Warriors are one win away from a back-to-back, another NBA championship. They started out the year 24-0, the best start in league history. They won a record 73 regular season games, one more than the 95-96 Bulls. They've got 88 combined wins between the playoffs and the regular season, which is the most in NBA history. They are, the Bulls were 15-3 in the playoffs that year. The Warriors are 15-6, so the Bulls are better. They also have a, they also had a 28-game regular season win streak from the 24 this year and 4 last year, which is the second most in NBA history.
Yeah.
They're really good.
And
if the Bulls played them in the finals, the 95-96 Bulls, it would be an unbelievable series. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. We can't go back and do it again.
It'd be better than this series with the Cavs. That's for sure.
It would be, and I do wonder what's going to happen to LeBron James this summer. I'm assuming he's not going anywhere.
How can he?
Where are you going to go? What would that look like? I don't think Kevin Love's coming back to Cleveland. But I was super excited for this finals, man, and it's just been it just hasn't delivered. The Western Conference Finals were phenomenal with the Thunder and the Warriors. This has been...
Even I said that was good.
It was good.
It was. This is not good.
Steph had 38 last night. Steph is unbelievable.
He's good.
You know what's one comparison between the 95-96 Bulls and the Warriors right now, where the Bulls do have a significant edge? They both had Australian centers. The Bulls had Luke Longley.
Yeah.
9 points, 5 rebounds, almost a block and a half a game. And the Warriors got Bogut. 5.5 points, 7 boards, and 1.8 blocks. Longley is greater than Bogut.
You are just holding on to every tiny little thing you can. You're so threatened by these Warriors. It's so funny.
It's sad, but true. I am.
You're definitely threatened.
It was a no-win final for me. I'd have to listen to the LeBron talk if he won and his legacy being better than Michael, or now we got to listen to Golden State.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm...
I also think you're the only one that cares about that.
I'm not the only one. There are some people in this city who think it's, like, ridiculous and beneath a sports fan to have these thoughts. And then there are others who... are sports fans and
then they're sports fans.
And that, you know, so I tend to be a sports fan, or certainly in this scenario, a Bulls/NBA fan with my guard up. I'm defended on this. I'm a defended guy.
All right, these guys have won 2 championships.
They did you hear what I just all the stats?
Yeah,
I just
okay. So they had a good year.
They didn't just have a good year. They've won back to back. They've won 73 games. They've won 28 in a row combined in 2 seasons. They've got the most everything. They're the most unique team in NBA history. You got 2 guards shooting 40 footers that are just somehow going in.
Well, yeah, the game's completely different.
Yeah, it is, but like you would still, the Bulls couldn't guard them. It'd be a problem. It'd be a problem.
It'd be fun. I wish we could watch it.
It'd be amazing. Quick timeout, and we'll get Amy Guth set up for her show right here, right now on 720 WGN.